The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Friday, November 16th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the New Jersey couple and a homeless veteran at the center of the long-running $400,000 GoFundMe controversy have been charged with conspiracy and theft by deception for an alleged scheme that hookwinked an awful lot of people, according to authorities. They said yesterday. Yeah, that's what the prosecutor said. GoFundMe said immediately after charges were filed that all 14,000 donors to the campaign that donated to the campaign last year would be refunded in full. So GoFundMe is refunding all of this money.
Well, we talk about this, and this is critical to GoFundMe's business, because if people can't donate and not feel that they're covered, this is in their best interest. That's why they immediately stepped up and offered to, when we thought they were taking advantage of Bobbitt.
They were going to give him the money.
So this is they're fumbling to make sure they get everyone taken care of, because this is everything for them.
Johnny Bobbitt Jr. and the South Jersey couple, Kate McClure and Mark D'Amico, are all facing criminal charges of conspiracy and theft by deception for the GoFundMe campaign that began in 2017, about a year from now.
Our heads are spinning. We've been talking about this, and then new things come out, and new articles, and new... And honestly, the ultimate thing, and I know we're going to be talking to someone later on.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Sidney Long, who broke the story on NBC 10 two nights ago.
They were close to getting away with it, were it not for if they started fighting over the money. And even the investigator said that.
There's a picture, Nick's got it up on our screen right now, of the three of them at the Camp Out for Hunger standing right in front of us, all smiling as we interviewed them on the air.
Yeah.
It was about a year ago.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. That's an article from the BBC, by the way. That's BBC, the world-class organization, news organization, has a photo of us.
Did they give us credit?
Pictures on the BBC. Oh my God.
At least from Camp Out for Hunger. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Listen, they were on every major morning show. They had full-blown national exposure. And if you want a quick, take a perusal of some of these 65,000 text messages.
Hey, hang on a second. So this is on the BBC.
Yeah,
this is a screen cap from, I guess it was the account they put together for Instagram called Johnny's Journey. And it says, the Preston and Steve Show was one of the best experiences I've had in my life. They couldn't have been more gracious and kind. I'll be listening to their podcast on the road. And so that's right there on the
and
the
then
BBC's
not listening to anything anymore.
Marissa sent us. It was you that sent us it was a screen cap from last year when she says something like, you know, sometimes meeting your heroes.
Yes,
it was a big disappointment, but not with a Preston and Steve Show.
Oh my God!
I'll tell you what,
we were taking advantage.
We're all disappointed.
We're disappointed. But as we said before, and as I've said earlier, we're going to talk about this some more. This wasn't an outlandish story. We, as I have said many times, it wasn't like she was claiming she was being attacked by a unicorn.
No.
And
it was
he jumped
a good
out.
Story.
It was they were the three only people who could verify it.
Right.
But still, it came at the right time. It was a time. It wasn't crazy. And it was not like it was setting a precedent. Things similarly had happened.
Yep.
And with the same result.
Mm-hmm.
Burlington County, New Jersey prosecutor Scott Cafina alleged the three conspired with one another to make up the story and raise more from online donors. The GoFundMe campaign garnered national headlines and news segments, eventually raising more than $400,000. Authorities believe the three met at least a month before the campaign was launched, possibly on one of the many trips that McClure and D'Amico made to Sugar House Casino. In case you were correct, I believe that he blew a lot of it.
In gambling.
The prosecutor said in and around the casino. So they couldn't confirm that he used the cash he took out of a Mac machine next door to Sugar House Casino. You know, they couldn't confirm that he used it in the casino, but they said that there was thousands of dollars taken out of Mac machines in and around casinos.
You know, it comes to mind, Preston, the scene after the Lufthansa heist in Goodfellas.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that car. What did I tell you?
Yeah.
What did I tell you? Don't buy anything big.
Yeah.
And it's funny because as this whole thing's been sort of unraveling, you would have sympathy for one person and then sympathy for another. Guess what? They're all.
There's no sympathy.
Especially her. Like, she was went, this poor girl. Like, she gets wrapped into this by her scumbag boyfriend. And then you read her text and you're like,
oh my God.
No.
diving all in. Thing.
Well, and you know, even when they were saying, "Oh, well, she bought a BMW and all that," and like I looked at it, and it was a used BMW.
Yeah.
BMW. I'm like, maybe she saved up a little
People
money.
Can do that.
Like,
yeah.
Relax. No, yeah. She stole from all of you. Uh-huh. Bobbitt was homeless and often stayed near an Interstate 95 off ramp near the casino, which is how they believe that they met. They said that they think that the couple would pass by him. They said they may have given him, you know, a few dollars here and there, maybe a cup of coffee. And over their a number of trips to the casino, they struck up a relationship with him.
I think it was his idea because of, and maybe we'll talk about it later,
but
there was a Facebook post in 2012 where he said he helped out someone, gave him the last bit of money because her car or she had a flat or something like that. And it's the same story.
It's the same story.
He used his last bit of money to help out. And I think that he's like, hey, that worked. Let's make it.
Steve Keeley at Fox had posted that yesterday. Yeah. And said, does this look familiar? Yeah.
Well, so I actually went to that Facebook account and I scrolled all the way down to 2012 to see the actual post and read like some of the comments under it.
Yeah.
It was a very similar story. Not exact, but similar.
Yeah.
And the comments were like, hey, sounds just like you. That's so nice of you for doing that. So, yesterday at the news conference, the prosecutor said that he didn't know. He wouldn't necessarily say it wasn't true, but maybe did they get the story from there?
It's possible. Yeah, maybe that really happened. He's like, you know what?
I got some
traction.
Work.
Yeah.
Let's do it on a bigger scale.
And kudos to New Jersey law enforcement and the prosecutors for putting together this case and slowly building it against them. And, you know, it hasn't gone to trial yet, obviously. This is just the beginning stages of it. But it's an impressive way to catch these people and you know, they didn't get away with it. Ultimately.
It shows the importance, Nick, of you know, taking that pause and let's take a look at everything.
Because building
at a certain time they were investigating it is that they had taken advantage of Bobbitt.
Right.
And then there were some red flag text messages and there's some wild ones from her.
Wait, so where are you seeing the transcript of the text?
Well, the New York Post has a whole bunch of things.
Okay.
I think the Daily Mail did, too.
Yeah, the Daily Mail has an extensive one as well. But it's there are things where you can just see it about keeping the money. And she had let a few friends in on this, on the deception. And they're all saying, hey, he's going to give you up. And she's, I don't care. I'm keeping the effing money.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm casting this right now. I think Colin Farrell plays the boyfriend.
Okay. I'm thinking maybe a little too gracious.
Yeah, that's very good.
They always get somebody better looking than the actual person, though.
Yeah.
But he has similar features.
Well, similar features. I'm thinking maybe Amber Heard to play her.
So here's the deal. Since now we're very pissed at him, Wallace Shawn to play him.
My dog's butthole to play him.
But it's just screaming. It's just screaming for a Dateline or
something.
It's one of these things.
Would Jessica Chastain be too old?
Maybe? Yes, a little bit. Yeah. I'll tell you this, though. The thing that just made me... My head spun. He was attempting to get a book deal for a book titled No Good Deed.
After all the money was gone.
Yeah, it was no good deed.
Yeah.
And they're looking at potential jail time. They're saying and the prosecutor was kind of careful when he talked about if they would get jail time, you know, because some
it's
of
a first offense.
Well, and he D'Amico has like some traffic offenses. Yeah. He said that Bobbitt does have a prior history. She doesn't have anything, so you know that's going to play into part.
I heard it said anywhere from 5 to 10 years they are
5 to 10 years. Yeah,
but not likely.
Right, but not likely exactly. So Kafina said that within hours of the three launching the campaign on the GoFundMe website last November, McClure texted a friend that the majority of the story was fabricated. So this is one of the texts. Okay, so wait, the gas part is completely made up. The guy isn't. McClure allegedly texted a friend after the campaign went live on November 10th with a photo of a smiling McClure and Bobbitt. So shush about the made up stuff, she added, according to Kafina.
Shush.
D'Amico and McClure turned themselves in on Wednesday to Burlington County prosecutors. On Thursday, James Giroux, an attorney for McClure, released a statement on her behalf. I'm confident that in the end, the evidence will reveal that Kate had only the best intentions. She was used by Mr. D'Amico and Mr. Bobbitt, and she thought throughout this that the money was going to a homeless veteran. She was unaware that they had concocted this scheme. It wasn't until September when meeting with prosecutors that she realized that she had been used by both of them.
Not according to that text.
Not according to the text that said shush.
Shush.
The gas thing wasn't real. The guy's real. But
shush.
The whole idea behind this, that's fake. He's real.
Shush.
The backbone of the story was that Bobbitt used $20 to help McClure get gas when her car ran out on 95 at the Girard Avenue exit. McClure and D'Amico then launched a GoFundMe page to supposedly raise money for Bobbitt, and the page brought in over $400,000 from 14,000 contributors.
Incredible.
Yep.
The afternoon rush hour of a after a surprisingly strong snowstorm fell yesterday caused a traffic nightmare for people trying to get home. All across the Philadelphia region, the crush of traffic combined with the lingering snow and sleet marked a frustrating end to a dangerous day of travel, which included hundreds of crashes. So travel by train and plane, that wasn't much better either. There were flights that were completely canceled yesterday at the Philadelphia International Airport. SEPTA suspended a number of bus routes, obviously trying to get through some of the areas. Regional rail lines were suspended, and then others were running at a 90-minute delay.
So, Kathy, my mind immediately went to trying to get back from the Poconos after the Cardboard Classic and all that deal. I would say that I actually saw more collisions and cars that had crashed or run into things yesterday than I did coming back from that. There were obviously the down trees, the down wires that distinguished that. But I think, I don't even know, there's probably a lot of people who haven't switched to their snow tires yet. Or, you know, I mean,
there were people that didn't, like, Casey didn't have the ice scraper in his car. People did not expect this.
I ended up, they really didn't. So I was kind of a chauffeur for a long time yesterday. I actually had to push people out of snow embankments. And all that sort of stuff. And my shoes are like just soggy, like messes right now.
It was clearly, and I think in general, and everybody, and the weather forecasters admitted at this point, is that what we were told and what we got, dramatically different.
I mean, it's still snowing some places, so yes. All service on Amtrak's Northeast Corridor was also suspended between Trenton and Philadelphia because of power signal issues. In Montgomery County, there were more than 250 crashes.
God.
350 disabled vehicles were reported. Then flooding became an issue, so that made for a treacherous commute.
I think one of the MMR vehicles got in an accident yesterday, too. I was supposed to do an event last night out in Westchester, and I think it was the van got banged up, and I don't know where that happened, but I received photos on a text chain between our promotions department and some of the people I was supposed to do the event with last night, and that got canceled. So
they get canceled because you know what? The roadways were fine by like seven.
Yeah, so my event probably would have been okay, but people getting around up until that point was a mess.
And it was still a mess. It was still jammed at 7 o'clock. There was still traffic all over the place.
Did you guys see the camel by any chance?
Yeah.
Listen to the Bizarre File later on.
Okay.
Now, speaking of a traffic nightmare, the wintry weather has caused a 30-mile backup on a stretch of I-78 in Lehigh Valley. Vehicles, a majority being tractor-trailers, were in a standstill at various spots along the roadway from New Jersey to Route 100. Some drivers were stuck in traffic for more than 12 hours, basically since yesterday afternoon. State police could be seen driving on the opposite side of 78 to wake up the drivers who had fallen asleep in their trucks. Some drivers had run out of gas waiting for traffic to start moving. The snow is still falling and 78 is still backed up. Vehicles are now moving, but very slowly. In sports this morning... After winning three games in a row and getting points in five of six games, the Flyers have now lost two straight. Last night, the New Jersey Devils came into town and shut out the Flyers, winning 3-0. Keith Kincaid made 29 saves. Kyle Palmieri scored, and Blake Coleman added an empty netter for the Devils, who won consecutive games for the first time since opening the season with four straight wins. The Flyers will be home again tomorrow afternoon when they host the Tampa Bay Lightning. The puck drops at 1 o'clock. In Thursday night football, Russell Wilson got hot in the fourth quarter, and Seattle's defense stopped Aaron Rodgers. And the Seattle Seahawks stayed in the middle of the NFC playoff race. Wilson threw for 225 yards, and his 15-yard touchdown pass to Ed Dixon with 5 minutes and 8 seconds left was the difference in the Seahawks' 27-24 win over the Packers. The Sixers return to action at home with the game against the Utah Jazz as Jimmy Butler will make his home debut with the team. Tip-off is set for 7 o'clock, and the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. We have a lot on our plate today, so step up to the buffet, friends. We're going to have a bunch for you to spoon on there. We are going to have, number one, we had mentioned, Cindy Long from NBC 10 is stopping by. She broke that story about the GoFundMe case with these three people conspiring. So we're going to have her in, maybe spell out some more of the details, and we can get in a little bit more nitty-gritty about this whole thing.
Yeah, so apparently she had a source. Okay. And so two nights ago, she let that info out.
So she's going to be in a little after 7 o'clock. Our buddy Big J Okerson is in town. He's going to be at Helium Comedy Club. So Big J is stopping by, and that's always absolutely hilarious. So we're going to spend some time with him. And on the heels of the death of Stan Lee, obviously he was busy those first couple of days after the news broke. But Kevin Smith is going to be on, and we'll talk about the legacy and their relationship together.
I love this because he certainly has a voluminous history Kevin Smith.
So Kevin's going to give us a call a little after 9 o'clock, which is it's always a great conversation. And we'll talk about the life and legacy of Stan Lee. We also today have the biggest hottie cam of the year. This morning, we will have our Totally Office calendar girls here in the studio.
Yes.
And we will say hello to them. We will feature them on our hottie cam. Nobody but us knows who are in the calendar. As of now, we will reveal that information and also the months that they will appear in and who is on the cover. They don't know yet.
They do not know.
Did anybody see the calendar?
No. I saw the mock-up before it went out for a publisher.
Do we have them?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
No, we haven't seen the final product yet, so we'll get to see it, and we'll reveal the details about it, and you will be able to get your copy for free tonight at Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. 7 to 10 p.m. is when that's taking place, so come out. Road should be good by then. I think we'll be all right.
We'll be fine.
By tonight, we'll be fine.
Absolutely.
So you should definitely come and join us tonight. So
one of our calendar girls is stuck in the Lehigh Valley, though.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's where she lives. And okay. She's like, I don't think it's going to happen this morning. I'm like, it's okay. Yes.
Understood.
There's still traffic. It's crazy. All right. And as we take a break, I want to give away my last pair of tickets to see Tom Segura tonight at the Miriam Theater. That's not till 10:30. You could come to the calendar release party and then go see Tom Segura if you win the tickets. So we'll take caller number 15 at 215-263-WMMR. Only tickets for the first show are available, and you can check that. You can get them at KimmelCenter.org. We're going to take a break. We're going to come right back. No song. We're going to get right back into things because it's already 6:33.
Oh.
And we will get into the entertainment report and stupid question when we get back. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Cool gifts are what Worldwide Stereo is all about. Wrap a genuine surprise and wow someone all year long. Montgomeryville, Ardmore, and online at worldwidestereo.com.
Hey, it's Preston from the Preston and Steve Show. This holiday season, I'm going to be buying Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa gift cards for my family and friends. And listen, during the Black Friday weekend, it is their buy one, get one free sale on gift cards. Visit one of their over 50 locations in your neighborhood or visit hannahandstone.com. Restrictions apply. See spot for details.
Do you ever wonder why everyone hates Steven Singer? Well, he makes buying a diamond easy with his 100-day no-hassle money-back guarantee and free shipping both ways, making returns and exchanges hassle-free. Visit Steven at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so stupid question this morning. Going to give away a $50 American Express gift card, and you'll be registered for a $300 American Express gift card. So the question I have for you is, the inspiration for Neil Diamond's song, Sweet Caroline, came from which U.S. president's daughter? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. The inspiration for Neil Diamond's song, Sweet Caroline, came from which U.S. president's daughter? Let's see if you know the answer, and I will mention a few birthdays, kill a little time while we're waiting for you to call in. It is the 16th day of November, and it's Maggie Gyllenhaal's birthday today.
Very talented.
Maggie is 41 years old today. Yes.
Wait, is she a little annoying?
You would have to tell us there are so many people you consider annoying.
I know.
A little bit. She was in The Dark Knight, you remember, and they play her off as being
she's not
so beautiful.
Beauty, and you are, but then again, look at me, so how would I know?
Yeah.
No, you know who I'm thinking of is...
Which one? What movie?
Maggie Grace. She has to go through the mental Rolodex of the people she finds annoying. It's very hard.
I know, there's so many.
There's no computer in the world that can go through that much information.
No, I should have just kept my mouth shut because I don't remember the name of the movie. I do love the movie. He's just not into you, maybe.
Okay.
Scarlett Johansson?
That's the movie. The girl. The annoying girl.
Okay. Oh, Jesus.
Right, with the dark hair that kind of looks like Maggie Gyllenhaal.
And we're moving on.
No,
Jennifer Goodwin?
Yes.
You don't like Jennifer Goodwin?
She's just a little annoying.
All right.
What?
She plays Snow White.
No, you not. No.
I don't think. I don't see that.
No, you're wrong.
I like her.
Your opinion is wrong.
Okay.
So, yeah, she's
happy birthday,
41, Maggie Gyllenhaal.
But there's another girl that Kathy does not like.
No, but I got them confused. I thought it was her.
Oksana Bayul, the gold medal winning figure skater.
Oh, that one. No, I'm just kidding.
She attended our Camp Out for Hunger 1 year. Yep. She's also 41 today. Lisa Bonet.
Yes.
From The Cosby Show.
Jason, she's Momoa? With Jason Momoa. That's his wife.
Yeah, and she had a nice run on A Different World as well. Ex-wife of Lenny Kravitz.
That's
too.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so, who's her daughter?
Zoe Kravitz.
Zoe Kravitz. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. So she's 51 today, and Zoe's going to be in that new Harry Potter movie. That
she plays Bellatrix Lestrange, I think.
Then we have Dwight Gooden, former major league pitcher. Yep. He's 54 today. Marg Helgenberger.
Always liked her.
Yeah, from CSI, and she was also in China Beach, and she was in the Species movies. She's 60 today.
Yeah, looking good. I think she's a ginger, right?
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
Yes. And then I saw, it says reality star Brandy Glanville. I forgot which one she is.
Oh, she's just amazing.
Oh, is she's a real housewife, isn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, she's a real housewife.
All right, she's 46 years old.
Today. She's really talentless.
Marissa, I don't have anything on my phone screen here, so I'm going to go to just to let you know so you can work on that, but I'm going to go to this caller. I don't know who you are. Hi, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, this is Justin.
Hey, Justin. All right, so we're looking for an answer. The inspiration for Neil Diamond's song, Sweet Caroline, came from which U.S. president's daughter?
Who is John F. Kennedy?
Who is John F. Kennedy?
Who is John F. Kennedy?
Indeed, you are correct. Hang on, we're going to get your information, and we are going to set you up with a $50 American Express gift card and qualify for a $300 American Express gift card. Catch Last Man Standing 5 days a week at 1 and 1:30 only on 69 WFMZ TV. We're going to start with Amy Schumer. She was actually hospitalized yesterday in Texas.
Saw this.
With hyperemesis gravidarum, which is a severe form of nausea that can accompany pregnancy.
Is this what Kate Middleton
had? I believe so. She said, I'm in the hospital. I'm fine. Baby's fine. But everyone who says the second trimester is not telling the full story. I've been even more ill this trimester. She wrote this on Instagram alongside a photo of herself resting in a hospital bed. She said, I have hyperemesis and it blows. Very lucky to be pregnant, but this is some bull S. Sending so much love to the doctors and nurses taking great care of me and Toddy. They are cool as hell.
So the baby is okay, though?
Yes, the baby's fine.
Excellent.
Her symptoms have forced her to postpone several comedy shows until she recovers. One was scheduled for last night at the Margot and Bill Winspear Opera House. She is here on December 1st, I believe.
That's what I hear. Yeah.
So hopefully
maybe not.
Hopefully this won't affect that, but she said, Texas, I am so deeply sorry. I've been really looking forward to forward to these shows, and I have to reschedule. I'll be out there as soon as I'm better. She announced that she and her husband, Chris Fisher, were expecting their first child back in October. How did the fire start in California? Well, the Kardashian sisters think they know.
Oh, my God.
Kim and Khloe tweeted separately about the Santa Susana Field Lab, a former nuclear testing plant in Ventura County.
Whoa.
And Kim shared this by saying, shocked and furious to learn smoke from the Woolsey fire started at former nuclear testing site, Santa Susana Field and Lab, is potentially radioactive.
I'm going undercover.
Sign now to demand that incoming Governor Gavin Newsom gets this site cleaned up. And then Kim linked to a change.org petition titled, No More Kids with Cancer, Clean Up the Santa Susana Field Lab. The petition was launched by Melissa Bumstead, mother of four-year-old Grace. Grace has a rare form of cancer that Melissa claims she developed from living 20 miles away from that site. And then Kim had tweeted, our family lives only 20 miles from nuclear disaster site, Santa Susana Field Lab, and we didn't even know it. The Woolsey fire started there, and smoke could be carrying radioactive chemicals. We need Gavin Newsom to do something, sign the petition. The cause of the fire is not known, but it did start near the site. On Tuesday, the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health said that they found no discernible level of radiation in the tested area.
They're not going to like to hear this, but I saw a report yesterday that said what they initially discovered as the setup point for the fire was a huge burning pile of Kardashian socks.
Oh, no.
So hundreds remain missing.
Trying to clear inventory.
And the death toll has risen to at least 58 at this point. So, but that's where they think it happened. That's according to Kim.
You're on the warpath.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're not putting much stock in it. Yeah, really? Yeah. From journalists like that family?
I know. Meanwhile, Kim is also opening up about her and Kanye's sometimes controversial politics, speaking at Variety's Criminal Justice Reform Summit in...
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Come on. Come on.
In West Hollywood on Wednesday.
We have an interesting guest today.
She explained that she actually schooled him after his infamous White House visit in the fall. She said, "I feel like he's very misunderstood and the worst communicator." This is her talking about her husband.
Right.
But when we talk about it, we have very similar politics.
This is quite an honor to address the United Nations. My name is Rob Kardashian.
While she explained that while West likes Donald Trump personally, he isn't aware of his politics. She said he will also say he was friendly with him before, and he's the same person and friendly with him now.
This sounds like in the scene in Spinal Tap when they're chiding the Stonehenge developer. Well, you know, he's not smart.
Yeah.
You know, he's dumb.
I could also coexist with someone and still have different political views, she said. So
there you go. Besides, they're getting some stuff done with him. So
what do you mean?
Kim went to the White House. You know, now that she's uncovered that whole nuclear waste thing, Preston.
Right.
There's no stopping her.
The Jack Reacher novels will be headed to a small screen sometime soon, but author Lee Child said that Tom Cruise will not play the lead because he doesn't have the character's physicality.
I love both the Jack Reacher films. I really liked them. I don't know if I say I love them. They're really good. But apparently Jack Reacher's like 6 feet, 8 inches tall.
Well, in the books he's 6'5".
Yeah.
And Cruise is 5'7". he played the title character in the 2012 film original, which made $200 million. And the sequel in 2016 made $162 million. But Child said, he told the BBC, Cruise, for all his talent, didn't have that physicality. The idea is, when Reacher walks into a room, you are a little nervous just for that first minute.
Is it impossible to have Cruise play the character on stilts?
And Cruise, for all his talent, didn't have that physicality. Well, generally, they just hire people that are shorter.
But there's really nobody shorter.
Yeah.
Hey, well, what's your name?
Child issued a call to readers who are angry with Cruise's casting to help find the perfect star for the TV adaptation. I want all those readers who are upset about Tom Cruise to help me out, participate in choosing the right actor for the TV series. We're rebooting and starting over, and we're going to try and find the perfect guy, he said.
Well, they can do it. Jack Ryan was played by, you watched the series.
Oh, John Krasinski.
John Krasinski did a great job.
Gwyneth Paltrow has done it again, managing to cause Twitter to clutch its pearls over her epic gift-giving guide featuring a 22-karat gold pipe.
This is the Goop gift-giving guide?
Sex, dust, and a banana lamp. It's, sadly, this year's Goop holiday guide.
All right.
Did not include a jade egg or camel milk delivery service in its $650,000 worth of selections. Among Goop's recommendations, a $275 ceramic backgammon set, a $700 marabou feather playful tickler pleasure puff ring.
Jesus Christ! Come on!
A $340 lamp in the shape of a banana.
Ooh.
$7,400 bejeweled 18-karat gold earrings featuring tiny diamonds and other precious gems. A $96 bamboo toothbrush set.
Oh, I want that.
Because she likes to brush her teeth the way the panda did.
What? Sounds cool.
And a $139,000 RV and a $140 22-karat gold and ceramic pipe. Huh. Also, an entire village in Spain for $172,000.
You can buy an entire village?
Yes.
Where is the village, though?
It's in Spain somewhere.
Is it near their nuclear site?
$172,000, I would guess so, for that price. Yeah, most likely. So, the Goop Holiday Guide is out if you are so inclined. 3 days after General Hospital alum Vanessa Marcel first claimed that her son, Cassius Ligia, had been shut out of his father and ex's life, she is opening up yet again, and you know who the ex is. She's responding to fan comments on Instagram about how and why Brian Austin Green and wife Megan Fox cut out his 16-year-old son and barred him from seeing his three siblings. She wrote, "Let's hear Green's side regarding why Cass hasn't been welcome in their home for 5 years. And let's also hear about what he offered his son on one of his handful of times he's seen him."
Yeah, let's hear this.
She said, "Cass no longer has a bedroom at their house starting 5 years ago. He hasn't ever seen Megan again or met his youngest brother. He's not allowed to know where they live anymore. Isn't invited to see them on the holidays, not even Father's Day. They threw out his entire room and gave away his cat, without Cass knowing it.
What? Yeah. That sucks.
I don't know, man. That's
he's the Julian Lennon of the Green family.
That sounds pretty horrible. And I blame Megan Fox.
Absolutely. She's the Yoko of the Green family.
There you go. Armie Hammer earned epic blowback on Twitter for his derisive remarks directed at selfie-posting celebs in the wake of Stan Lee's death. We talked about this a couple of times. He objected to celebrities who posted shots with the late Marvel creator, saying that they were making the 95-year-old's death about them when it was anything but. Well, he responded to his critics Thursday, and he is full-on apologized. He said, while attempting to provide some unnecessary social commentary about the current selfie culture, and then in parentheses, I, in true asshat form, thank you, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, inadvertently offended many who were genuinely grieving the loss of a true icon. He wrote this on Twitter on Thursday. He said, I want to apologize from the bottom of my heart and will be working on my Twitter impulse control.
That, to me, is a solid apology.
Yeah, I agree. That's how you apologize.
Okay, we move on now.
He's completely... Yeah. Owned up to it and apologized and says he's going to try to do better. So there you go. Coldplay frontman Chris Martin and Dakota Johnson are normally private about their love life, but the pair were spotted stepping out at Sushi Park in LA.
That's like Dutch Wonderland.
And they were looking blissed out and grinning.
Blissed out and grinning. Oh. I don't think I've ever been blissed out in my life.
No, no. That and grinning at the same time?
No, yeah. I can't do both. I have a structural issue with my face that does not allow me to achieve both at the
like
same
some
time.
Some people can't pat their stomach and rub it now.
You're like Marissa, where only half of your face can smile.
That's it, yes.
Time, yeah.
And she had some surgery work done on it. She had a little oral stuff
she's
done.
Been having headaches oral and stuff. she was doing oral stuff yesterday.
Oh, that's cute. So she's swollen.
She's in a little bit of pain today, man.
Well, she, like a trooper, she came in. Yeah.
Poor kid. So anyhow, I lost my place.
They're blissed out.
Oh, no. They recently debuted matching tattoos.
Wow. And see, they're on their face. They're big tribal things.
No,
that's Mike Tyson.
That's Mike Tyson. An infinity cross with two small X's. Johnson is below her elbow while Martin's is on the inside of his right forearm. Speaking of face tattoos, so yesterday I'm watching TMZ.
Oh, yeah?
I very, very, very rarely put that on, but absolutely nothing was on TV. I'm like, all right, I'll watch for a little bit.
TMZ Live, right?
They had Lil Zah.
Lil Zah. Oh,
dear God.
Come on, right? Right?
Have you seen this guy?
Tekashi 69, Lil Zah.
Post Malone.
Who's the other one who just went into rehab? He's got writing all over his face. And Preston, he has tattooed black tears pouring out of one eye.
I can't wait. You know, 20 years from now, I want to see the group that they are in, the group therapy that they have to go through for lousy face tattoos.
Or this, Preston. Well, I did have a career in hip-hop, but I think I would be an asset to your management team here. And I think that I can bring what you're looking for.
Oh, dear God.
What's you know this that guy? Blur on your... Well, it used to read F-U.
This guy's called Lil Skies. You heard of this one, Steve?
No, I have not.
All right, so I follow Fillmore Philly on Instagram. It's a good follow, and it's a great venue. And this dude is coming to town on December 11th and has been blowing up my Instagram feed all week.
Really?
Because I guess it's a sponsored content ad.
Oh.
And I can't get enough of his face.
Not only the face tattoos, Steve, but he's got every single tooth is grilled up. and it's I don't know if those are little diamonds or if they're just little pockmarks on the teeth or what, but
I would love to Preston, I agree with you. I'd love to jump 25 years into the future when this guy's sitting in the recliner with the kids or you know where's the remote?
Yeah, seriously.
You know what, this is so being the father of a daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, imagine this coming to the front door.
No way.
You know what though?
Capital murder. It's like, oh my God.
You Ben.
You don't let her out.
You weren't that bad a kid that it would be visited on you this way. Yeah. But you know what? You know, it's very, when she thought Justin Bieber was being bad, she excised him from her fandom. I think you're going to be okay. But regardless, just keep a gun by the door.
I like them applying for a job in 5 years.
The only reason for a while I worked within the music industry. I think I really get the Avis model. And I understand in rentals, it's an important dynamic.
I'm sorry. I'm just fixated on that goose that's tattooed on your nose.
Press, whenever I dated somebody that my parents didn't like, they never said anything.
Smart.
Because they said, if we did, we knew you were going to like run towards that. Sure. So we just let it go.
Agreed.
And eventually it would
you'll figure it out.
Is that not the classic scenario, Kathy, that you embolden... You just, that's great. In fact, probably the quickest way would be for the parents to lavish approval.
Yeah, she would welcome them into the house and things like that. But I mean, when I look back on it, I'm just saying because, you know, you mentioned your daughter. When I look back on it, I'm like, it did work.
So if somebody, I should take it a step further and I start getting facial tattoos.
You get matching. Caroline, we got matching tattoos.
What daddy got?
Look here on my inner lip, all effed up.
You had said that when they start wearing clothes that you don't think are, oh man. All right, well then I'm just going to wear these crotchless jean shorts now as well.
Oh, these are great.
Press, you had asked if I had heard of Lil Zah, and the only reason I did is there's a great lyric in the Eminem song where it starts out by saying, like, finger bang, chicken wang, and then he goes, like, Lil Pump. Yeah, it's great. It's actually really, really great.
Finger bang, chicken wang.
So yeah, finger bang, chicken wang, ding, 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 Lil Pump, Lil Zah, because he puts all these people on blast.
Okay.
I'm going to, like, blow up the whole thing or something like that. So that's the only reason I know Lil Zah.
And who's this guy again?
That's
this guy's Lil Skies.
Lil Skies.
So go see him at the Fillmore on December 11th.
Wow.
I just want to go to ask him if that little tiny mustache is actual real or is it tattooed.
Yeah. I couldn't tell from watching
it. It's got
yesterday.
A very like old style.
Yeah, it's not
silent
in the middle.
Film.
It's off to the sides. But anyhow, that was a slice. Okay. While many say that Jenna Dewan's ex, Channing Tatum's new love, bears a striking resemblance to her, she's shutting down the chatter. Several fans
shut up.
Opined that Jessie J isn't as stunning as Dewan, but she kept her response positive, replying with a kissing emoji and writing positive vibes all the way.
She's a lovely woman, but is she as hot as Jenna Dewan? No way.
But she's talented.
They're both very talented. They're both attractive, and this shouldn't be a contest.
They're both hot.
I wouldn't kick either of them out of bed for stealing my prune juice.
Beauty isn't in the eye of the beholder, by the way.
Now, they're both love. They're all too lovely. Stop it.
So Tatum and Dewan have been on exceptionally good terms since their split, even trick-or-treating together with their 5-year-old Everly.
See, that's what their marriage needed, a divorce.
That sounded like a rap song right there.
My meter and pace, I guess. I don't know. All right, a couple more quick things. Ben Stiller and Patricia Arquette spent a lot of time in prisons filming Showtime's upcoming Escape at Dannemora. Stiller,
this looks great.
Yeah, tells Variety he's learned a few things during his time behind bars. He said it's a really broken system and everyone knows it. There are so many factors. It's a very complicated problem. He directed and executive produced the true story of Richard, Matt, and David Sweat's 2015 escape from New York's largest maximum security prison, which was Clinton Correctional Facility.
Do you remember when this went down?
No.
Yes. So what they did is there was a guard there they were sleeping with, and they started to get things from her.
Yeah.
And they got out. The one guy, I remember clearly in the news, because the one guy is a nuclear scumbag. He's a cop killer, but he got out in the middle of the street, and because he had said he was going to escape with the other guy, went back.
Yeah.
It's totally Shawshank.
Yeah,
they're both guilty pricks.
They had gotten, like, tools and stuff from her.
Yes, from
like
her.
Wrenches and so forth, things that
by
they could
sleeping with her.
Yeah. So it's going to star Benicio del Toro and Paul Dano, along with Arquette, who portrays the prison worker. So that should be very interesting. And then one other thing, then we're going to find out what movies are opening this weekend. Dumbo is ready to soar. Wednesday night, Disney released the first full-lengthy trailer for the live-action remake directed by Tim Burton.
I was when the first live-action tease trailer came out, I started to well up.
Of course. The film stars, Michael Keaton, Eva Green, Colin Farrell, and Danny DeVito playing the parts of, I'm not going to go through all the names here.
Why not?
Okay. V.A. Vandeveer, Colette Marchant, Holt Farrier, and Max Medici.
Thank you, Preston, because I wanted to know who was playing who.
Dumbo is set to be released on March 29th, by the way. All right, how about what's new this weekend in the movies? You ready for that?
Yes!
New feature.
Thank you.
now my favorite segment.
Opening this weekend, one of the films is Instant Family. Of course, we had the director in our studio,
didn't we? Yes, we absolutely did. Writer-director.
Yeah, and it will star, or does star, Mark Wahlberg, Rose Byrne.
It am star.
Isabella Moner, Octavia Spencer, and others. The story is a husband and wife learn how to be parents after they decided to adopt three siblings. It is rated PG-13 and runs 1 hour and 59 minutes.
I saw the movie, and I had a hard time categorizing what you would consider it to be because, I mean, there were definitely a lot of laughs in it.
Does it have a Parenthood vibe to it? Because Parenthood is a light comedy, but it's also a drama.
Would. Yes. You know what?
Casey's never seen Parenthood.
Oh, all right. But I haven't seen it all the way through. That's the one where the guy is, they name their kid Cool.
Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. So I have seen a little bit of it. Yes. All right. Textually, it would be because it's I think it's a comedy first.
Yes.
And then,
there are moments.
A family drama second.
Right.
Yeah. It's like the movie, if you've ever seen This Is Where I Leave You.
Yes.
Same thing.
Same
a lot of funny moments, but very serious tones and relationships are explored and things like that. So I love movies like that when they're
so well done. So do I. When they work, they're the best.
Yeah. And the girl who plays the daughter, her real name is Isabella Moner.
We had her in the studio.
Amazing. She is a wonderful actress.
Yep.
She's really, really good and drives this whole movie.
Also opening this weekend is Widows, starring Viola Davis, Liam Neeson, Colin Farrell, Michelle Rodriguez.
Getting great reviews.
John Bernthal, Carrie Coon, and Daniel Kaluuya. It is about four women who have a debt left behind by their dead criminal husbands, but take on the fight that their men left behind. It is rated R, 2 hours and 9 minutes.
I think it's in the 90s on Rotten Tomatoes.
It is, 91%.
And then also opening this weekend is Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. Stars Eddie Redmayne, Jude Law, Johnny Depp, Catherine Waterston, Zoe Kravitz, and others. And it's about Newt Scamander teaming up with a young Dumbledore to stop the evil Grindelwald from raising pure blood wizards to rule over muggles.
Is this made up?
Non-magical beings. It is a true story.
Damn it.
And it is 2 hours and 14 minutes long and rated PG-13. And it is a 45% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Some of the critics say that it's, Preston, that it's sort of a it's a transitional movie to get you to another major plot point.
Okay. Well, you can go form your own opinion and see it this weekend if you like. Let's do the clips. And we'll start with a clip from Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. It's a new addition to the Harry Potter universe that explores even more magic around the world and the history of beloved characters. Here, Eddie Redmayne talks about how impressed he is by the world J.K. Rowling has created.
It's so vast. The canvas on which she's painting is so gigantic. And rather than sort of honing in, and she really trusts in herself to create this incredibly elaborate world, but in which he never shortchanges the characters.
Shut up, dummy.
Crimes of Grindelwald's in theaters now. It actually started probably late last night.
Yes.
Next clip. Widows. Of course, we were just talking about that, too. That's what's going to happen, by the way, on Friday.
So Widows.
I'm going to mention everything and then get to the clips. Four women pulling off a heist to get out from under their dead husband's debts. Here, Viola Davis talks about making a high-action movie with the one and only Steve McQueen.
The director who directed 12 Years a Slave.
He creates a very comfortable atmosphere for an actor to take risks. He's one of those people that coaxes everything out of you because he just sees you. He sees all of you.
What the f***?
Widows is also in theaters now.
There you Boom. Go.
That's what I got for you this morning.
Donked it.
In the entertainment roundup, we have a lot going on today. Our calendar girls are going to be here. We have our calendar release party tonight at Chickies and Pete's. Please come and see us. Get your calendar for free. Meet the ladies. We will have them on the air today to find out who's got what month and who is on the cover. And they don't know any of that information. They haven't seen the calendar yet. We haven't seen the final proof of it
yet, don't even know if it exists, Preston.
Yeah. We've seen the layout of it, but we haven't had the physical calendar in our hands yet, so we will do that. We're also going to have our buddy Big Jay Oakerson stopping by. He's going to be at Helium Comedy Club this weekend. We're going to talk to Kevin Smith about Stan Lee. We couldn't get to Kevin right away because he was really busy. He and Stan were close, and he's had a long, long relationship with him. So we'll talk about his legacy through Kevin's experience.
And, you know, it's hard getting Kevin to talk about anything, but we'll work it.
And when we return from NBC 10, we're going to have Sydney Long on. She is the one that apparently got the source that broke this story about the fact that the three people involved in the GoFundMe scam. The gal who ran out of gas and homeless guy who helped. You know the story. It's all over the news right now. She's the one that got the source that the three of them were working together.
Which blew our minds yesterday.
And there are now charges pending against all three. So we'll get more of those details and get a little bit deeper into that in just a moment.
The story was so much of a mind F that it's still on the docket, even in light of this dumb storm we had.
Yeah, so we're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second, and we'll talk to Sydney when we get back. Stay with us. We shall return shortly.
MMR rocks. Enough said.
Heads up that we have the calendar release party tonight at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Come on out and join us for that event free of charge. Calendars are free, one per person. All the ladies will be there. We'll meet them a little later this morning and find out who's going to be on the cover. We'll make that announcement. Before we go to our guests, I want to do a quick shout out.
Yes, please.
For a friend of mine, Jeff, his wife, Megan. Megan Stricker has her birthday on Sunday. And this is a double shout out because her brother is running in the Philly Marathon on Sunday. So, Sean Anderson, good luck to you there. Here's a shout out to both of you guys. And it looks like the weather's going to hold out as of now. It says Sunday, mostly cloudy, 44. So,
yeah.
Is that true or not?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, Press, you had mentioned the Philly Marathon. Did you guys get that email from Murph yesterday by any chance?
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't talking to you. our friend Murph from...
You said you guys.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was...
Wait, I can fix this.
Thank you. Just rewind it.
Just one second. Okay. We'll get you set.
So what are you saying?
Our friend Murph is running in the Philly Half Marathon this weekend. But
really?
He's doing it for charity. He's got a friend named Jen who has breast cancer, so he's calling it Jogging for Jen's Jugs.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
With her permission, of course.
This is Nick Murphy?
No, this is our friend Murphy. Murph from Ireland.
Irish Murph.
Now in Pittsburgh, right?
So we just wanted to give a shout-out to him, a shout-out to Murph and Jogging for Jen's Jugs.
The reason I answered your question, Casey, was because I posted the information up on the community page or our website, so I wanted to draw attention to that.
Hey, why would he call it jogging for jugs? He always uses the term hammers.
Well, he also
She's got
said,
great hammers.
He said jugs and hammers make the world go round. Okay. Because on his shirt, he says, "Hey, cancer, leave us jugs alone."
Okay.
It's a Pink Floyd thing.
I got it. All right.
Cool.
Anyhow, good luck then, Murph. All right. So yesterday we started getting the word trickling down that there was going to be a big announcement concerning Katie McClure, and she was the guy that helped, Johnny Bobbitt, the homeless guy, helped out by giving her some gas money when she needed it.
His last $20. And then Mark D'Amico, the boyfriend, all involved. And there have been different angles and different things that we've been hearing.
Yeah, so you know the story. And then it broke yesterday that the three of them were in on it together. And it was a ruse from the very start. And they are officially being charged now. And blew our minds yesterday.
So when I went in and told my wife the story, I said, "Did you hear? Did you hear the deal?" And she's working in her office. Audible, Preston, a full blow. like, what?
All right, so we are going to welcome on the reporter who got the source that started to get this information, to make it a news story from NBC 10. Please welcome Sydney Long to the show. Good morning, Sydney.
Hey, guys. Hey, Preston and Steve. Good morning. How are you?
Good.
We're doing good. This was such a bizarre twist in the story that was getting weirder as the days went on. And it was roughly a year ago that this whole thing started. Sydney, when did this start to, quote unquote, unravel and start to come that the three of them were working together?
Well, I think that, I'm not entirely shocked by the outcome, first and foremost. And thanks for the opportunity for having me on this morning. But I feel like, for me, my antenna and radar, and I think all of our radar, went up significantly when we knew that there was infighting. And when Bobbitt sued the couple over the summer in that civil suit, it was, it told all of us that something's up. I don't know if you guys remember. But former AG Paula Dow, who sits on the Burlington County Superior Court, she made mention that there were criminal investigators. Well, one of the attorneys, actually, the attorney for Bobbitt, made mention that there were these criminal investigators sitting in the back of the courtroom. And she said, "Listen, my courtroom is open." And in the days after that, that's when we began to see the raid on the home. We knew that there was something criminal that was starting to happen at that point.
It's so weird because obviously the story, and again, you know, people say, oh, I can't see, I can't believe I, you know, I fell for it or blah, 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 blah. The truth of the matter was, it was, we've had other stories like this that come and go where people do similar things and GoFundMe campaigns get started and they're legit and people end up benefiting from that. So when it came, it was an organic story. They were the three principals. They were the only ones that could tell the story and corroborate it. It seemed correct. There were a few little inconsistencies that some people were picking up on, but it was the time of year when you feel like, oh, it's you know, it's good to give, and it was a good reaffirmation of that. But you're right, when the money was not fully accounted for and that started to happen, that made me think, okay, well, the pairing off here is between him and they kind of got the money and they tried to do a good deed and, you know, money corrupts sometimes. And so they started grabbing it up. When the revelation hit that they were all three part of a fully orchestrated scam that began, that they knew each other a month before any of this was even ever put up online. Unbelievable.
Totally. I mean, that it was all made up. The prosecutor called, you know, the entire thing was predicated on a lie. So I have to say that my mouth definitely dropped a little bit. I could have foreseen potentially two people being charged here,
yes,
but not all three.
Yeah.
And so when I began to learn some of the details, because I think in the very beginning, the initial idea probably came from a very good place in their heart initially. You remember, they wanted to raise $10,000
right,
to help Johnny Bobbitt as a former Marine. But while they apparently schemed with one another to conjure up this fairy tale, this side of the road, broken down car rescue, we all know is not true yet, of Kate McClure in a questionable area of Philadelphia. Perhaps from the onset, we should have seen that maybe it was a little too good to be true. The other part is obviously that amount of money raised, that it grew exponentially. It multiplied in a month from November 10th of last year to early December. It went to that $400,000 mark. So it was that holiday time of year, and it tugged on people's heartstrings.
So
clearly they got too big for their britches. Now it exploded on them.
Exactly. And Sydney, the investigators and everyone has been very, very upfront saying they were very much on a path to get away with it. It was the infighting that brought it all down. And then they have all these, was the first tip off the big red flag, her texts?
Well, I think only when they had that information, when they seized the computers, the cell phones, any iPads and the financial statements from the couple's home up in Florence.
Right.
But I mean, if they went back onto the phone and it was within the hour that Kate texted a friend of hers, within the hour of that picture that became the face of the campaign on the Girard Avenue exit and the campaign getting started, she confided in a good friend on a text message that, listen, the gas part is completely made up, but the guy isn't. She said she had to make something up to make people feel bad and apparently told her friend on this text message, you know, shush up about the gas part.
Right. So, and now they're denying it. Now her, Kate's lawyer, as we've learned of this morning, Kathy reported in the news as well, is now saying, is trying to paint the image of her as a pawn to the, yes, to the boyfriend's desires. Don't these texts tend to punch holes in that?
Yeah, it's pretty contrary to that. It's contrary also to the fact that Kate McClure's mother, in some conversations and text messages that were made available to us yesterday in the affidavit, that she warned her that, you know, people go to jail for this type of thing. So it was like, I feel like even her own family, her mom, was not on her side at that point.
Yeah.
So do you know if there, I know that the friend obviously knew a little bit, but they maybe alluded yesterday to some other family members knowing about it. Do you know if any of the family members talked to authorities during the investigation?
I don't, Kathy. No, I haven't been privy to that just yet. And obviously we're going to continue to follow up on this, but potentially, you know, there may have been some depositions that played out and they're not going to share any of that until this moves to trial and into a discovery phase.
Well, Sydney, I have to ask you because the Preston and I were questioning the dynamic. So, okay, they've made this deal. We're going to bilk people out of money. We're going to create this false story, set up the GoFundMe page. They're going to, we assume maybe the talk is whatever the split of the money is. We're assuming it was a three-way split.
Right.
At what at some point, Bobbitt had to say, "Hey, man, I don't think I'm getting my fair share."
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what do we have any idea as to the communication between them or what the story was? Because it seems as if they basically adopted a complete "F you" attitude and said, "You're getting what you're getting," and that's it. Even when it was clear
you know, that he was going to do the incredibly dumb thing as far as his plan is concerned, yeah, of going to the authorities and filing.
Lord, what?
Taking him to court.
I think that goes straight to the heart of the amount of money that was raised. So a couple of things we learned that this could, they knew each other. They knew each other for a month prior to the launch of the Pay It Forward GoFundMe campaign, and that Mark D'Amico and Kate McClure had visited Sugar House Casino and had seen Johnny Bobbitt in that area and had met him. So one bombshell, the prosecutor said, obviously, was her text to her friend. He was, in fact, homeless. We learned that part was true. However, there was never a situation, obviously, where the car broke down.
Right.
What still isn't perfectly clear to me, who was the mastermind when you think about it, and Kate's attorney responding last night as well. But Kate's the one who posted the GoFundMe. D'Amico is the one who took the picture of the two of them, Kate McClure and Bobbitt, on the Girard Avenue exit. And then Johnny Bobbitt, I don't know if you guys knew this, but we dug it up yesterday. My tremendous and awesome team of folks back at NBC 10, Johnny Bobbitt Jr.'s Facebook page from 2012. And I sent that to investigators too, like, you know, is this going to be part of what we're hearing today? A post back in 2012 where he posted a similar circumstance of helping a woman by putting gas in her car, fixing her tire. You know, this is 6 years ago. So is this something where he, you know, he thought this up? And I think to what you spoke about, that, you know, this greed or whatever infighting over this money was, I don't know how he thought he would continue to get away with it, but some have suggested that the civil lawsuit bought them a little more time to get away with it.
Jeez. Well, and you know what? I looked up that Facebook page as well, and I scrolled down to 2012, and I read some of the comments and stuff like that. And people were commenting saying, hey, that sounds like something you would do. And then, you know, of course, I did a little investigative reporting myself.
Yes.
And, you know, went through all of his pictures, and it looks like he had a nice life at some point. It looked like he may have had a wife or a girlfriend. And
home in North Carolina.
Yeah. And I'm just looking at it thinking how sad now.
Well, he's an addict. He is. It's confirmed. He is an addict, correct? Sydney?
He has been open about his homelessness. Yeah. And he has also been open about his struggle with addiction.
Right. And he says that.
And it seems plausible.
Yes.
When D'Amico and McClure sat down with NBC's former host Megyn Kelly talking about there's $200,000 left, but it's like, you just leave you scratching your head. The money was gone by March of this year, of 2018.
Do you know what's most telling, Sydney? Also, there was a text from Kate, when I think she was starting to become agitated with D'Amico, with the boyfriend, about him posting on GoFundMe about how the amount was increasing exponentially. And it seems like in the context of the text that she felt, this is the profile's getting a little too high for this. Is that what the investigators sensed? Do you know?
Yeah, they did speak a little bit to that yesterday. And I believe at that point, potentially that's when it got shut down, the GoFundMe itself. But how cool is it now? Because we talked about yesterday, could there be restitution? They've blown this money away.
Yeah.
That GoFundMe would step up and going to refund all of the donors you know, that gave to this. So, and quite frankly, it you know, saves space for donation sites, you know, similar to this one.
We
lose faith.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you've looked into GoFundMe's history and if they have had incidents like this before at this level ever, or is this maybe the biggest one that they've had to step up and make good on?
That's interesting. I haven't had the opportunity to do that yet. We are going to be sitting down to talk to a fraud investigator today who says this is not untypical, that, you know, this kind of thing happens. But it might be interesting to find out if this is the biggest one. The biggest
interesting. All right.
Scam.
And that's the word for it. Scam. That's a flat out 100% rake you over the coals scam. And they almost got away
almost
with it.
But greed.
Wow.
Greed got the better of them. And then there was,
they
again,
did.
The investigator. Yep, almost got away with it, but not quite.
Yeah, so, crazy. All right. Sydney, good work and your source getting the information to you and breaking this whole thing. So you'll obviously be on top of all this. So we'll pay attention and make sure that we see what you're coming up with, okay?
Thank you guys so much. Happy Friday. Have a terrific weekend.
Thanks. I appreciate it. It's Sydney Long, guys, from NBC 10. See ya.
You know, but this brings up that point. We talk about this all the time, Kristen, about conspiracies and about these things that are in motion. It's like in the James Bond movie, you know, one of Blofeld's guys who works in the volcano, you know, with the missile launcher,
right,
is going to be at a bar in town. Yeah, I work inside a volcano.
Right.
Really? Yeah. Somehow the information will get out.
Loose lips.
Seriously.
And so, but the fact that Bobbitt was dumb enough, I'm gonna take you to court.
Oh my God!
Because you're what did you do?
Yeah, exactly. Can you imagine those two when they found out?
What?
Yeah, exactly.
And or if they knew he was going to do it or threatening, why didn't they just say? Because it's quite possible most of the money was gone at that point.
That too, and but also maybe they thought he'll never.
There's no. He's stupid. But he's not that stupid.
What would you guys say is your overall emotional reaction to this? Is it betrayal? Is it shock? Is it
shock?
Yeah,
not betrayal because Nick, I mentioned it yesterday. What we saw was a great demonstration of the goodness of people who stepped up and donated money for something that they believed was a wonderful cause. That remains true and intact. That speaks well of people. These three scumbags, though, that's the shock.
Steve, you and I were talking about it yesterday, but I really want to go back and reread A Simple Plan.
Because
It's just what happens when this much money comes into people's lives and things start to go
especially
wrong.
Especially when one of them, or at least two of them, are voracious gamblers.
Yeah, and liars. Yeah.
Well, you know what, Nick? I kind of am looking at the couple like, why? Why would you orchestrate this whole thing? Him, not that it's okay, but he is a homeless drug addict who will do anything for money. So him, I could almost understand where the thought process might be. Them, what are you doing?
Well, if dude gambled all his money away, then he likes to play the game.
You're dealing with addictions all over the place.
Yeah. Well, clearly he owed money to people and stuff.
Yeah, because he paid off some family debt.
He paid out $9,000 in family debt.
So Nick, going back to your question about your emotion, overall emotion, I can't say shock. That was yesterday.
Yeah.
But now I feel, for lack of a better word, kind of deflated because here's the trickle down of this. People stepped up, they wanted to help, and they've been scammed, and they will now be less likely to help out when something legitimate comes along. And that's what people like this don't see as a
collateral damage
to this. It's just, it's horrible, man.
No, you're exactly right. And so in so many cases when people do things like this and take liberties with people's generosity for their own ill-gotten gain, what they're doing is they're now shutting down people going to think twice. That's why GoFundMe's entire business model is predicated on people feeling generous.
Yeah. And you know what? Listen, if you did donate and you feel betrayed and maybe a little trepidatious about doing this again, don't. You know why? And we've talked about this in the past. If you donated for the right reasons and your intentions were pure, then that is fine. The end result, it sort of doesn't matter because what you were doing.
You did it for the right reasons.
You did it for the right reasons.
Imagine what would happen if it came out how much money I've been stealing from the camp out for.
Oh, my God.
That would just be terrible.
Horrible.
We're on air right now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
I will say this,
guys,
though.
Guys, shush.
There is a little bit of a silver lining surrounding those three. And I will put it to you this way.
Okay.
The reason they even know this Bobbitt guy is because they were giving him money and buying him
coffee. They met at one of our mixers.
So maybe there is a little bit of goodness in there. At least a tiny little bit. Yeah, They bought him coffee.
People lost $400,000.
Right?
So it silver evens lining. Out.
It all evens
There's
out.
There's the silver lining.
I did the mouth.
And I think right now, you did the mouth, too.
I did the math, and it's like $28 a donor. You know?
So here's a text that came in from somebody that says, last night I went back and I listened to the podcast from the Camp Out for Hunger last year when you guys had the three GoFundMe scammers on. It was pretty crazy listening to them just lie to your faces. Steve even says something about it not being some fabricated story, and they just went with it, and they said, you guys should go back and listen to it. You know,
I want to, absolutely. Wow.
Especially as this story develops a little bit more, maybe we take it on air and kind of break it down a little bit and listen to it live.
Do you know what happens also, Preston, is that at that point, the story had broken nationally. They were on, I think, with that, by that point, were they on the Today Show already? Or
Megyn Kelly.
Megyn Kelly. Good Morning America. Yeah. I mean, they were all, in fact, I think they had done Good Morning America the day before they were on our show.
Yeah.
And when I
Jesus Christ.
And I know that I'm
unbelievable.
I'm implicating myself here, but when I reached out to Katie last year to be on our show, she was more excited to do the Preston and Steve show than she was to do Good Morning America.
So there's a silver lining. If you're a felon, you tend to like us better than Good Morning America.
Yay!
No, she's a scammer. She's probably lying.
Yeah, you're right.
So let's keep that in mind. It's wild.
She's a big B101 fan.
Somebody texted and said maybe they were grooming him, and but that story of 2012.
So, mm-hmm. Preston,
of him saying something similar that happened. I don't know. Man.
To my mind, that's going to be another real melon twister. Where if, hey, I have an idea. If it's him. You know, because this history of this same sort of model for mm-hmm. what they ended up doing was in his past.
Maybe, and it could have, and let's go with silver linings for a moment. Maybe it's sort of, hey, here's a way that we can get you some money.
Yeah.
And, you know, because you're living on the street.
And pay for our gambling.
Let's create. I know.
Yeah.
Let's create this thing. Maybe it started like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it started like that.
I know
that.
A great way to help you get on your feet. Well, we can spend money at casinos.
And then it started to snowball and then things got out of control. I don't know.
Do you notice though the BMW they bought was a used, like a, you know, an older, a couple years older.
Yeah.
So, a simple plan, Goodfellas.
Yeah.
You know,
the Lufthansa heist.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all right in that realm. Yeah. And that's why we talk about when people pull off crimes like this, when they're doing extortion, when they're doing like, you know, Ponzi schemes or things of that nature. What does it take to make a person that can stand in front of a whole group of very generous people at the Camp Out for Hunger and blatantly lie?
Do you remember the Don Tollefson?
Yes.
Where he was selling
charities for Eagles.
Trips that didn't exist and keeping the money.
And that was
going to get you. Is he in jail?
He was.
No, he's out now.
He's out now. He did his
What's
time.
What's he doing?
He works for GoFundMe.
He works for McClure.
Yeah.
Wow.
What was I going to say now?
They
seized like a bunch of name brand handbags and things like that from inside the house, too. Like,
what are they going to do with those?
They actually keep them, and the money goes back into the prosecutor's office and fighting crime.
Because we have designer bag bingo at my church tomorrow night. We could totally
use it. It's a good cause.
Yeah,
I don't know how that works. If
stolen
they
designer
them?
Bag bingo, they should do that.
Yes. Maybe they can give you the bag and you can donate the money.
Grand prize a used BMW.
Yes. Yeah.
They do that all the time, though, at those police auctions.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they'll sell that stuff eventually.
What kills me is in that first go-around when it's just going to be like a civil case where they're going in and the guys investigating, as you heard Sydney talk about, were sitting in the back of the court, and the lawyers like, what are they doing here?
Yeah.
You're going to find out.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, wow. The prosecutor said yesterday that this had nothing to do with that civil case. Like, because people were asking about that. Is that
it was already in motion.
Like, is that an ongoing thing? Yeah. And he was like, we have nothing to do with that. You'll have to talk to those lawyers. I don't know.
Is that civil case still going on? That's the question.
That's what the reporters
were
asking.
I want the money we extorted. It's like the people that call up, somebody stole my meth lab.
Right, exactly.
Exactly. What did you do, you dummy?
I mean, I knew somebody who had, he was selling pot, and he had a lot of money stolen from his house.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I can't. There's nothing I can do here.
Yes, I make a lot of money selling drugs, and somebody broke into my home.
Yeah.
Could you please send an officer over to check it out?
Dude, guys.
What?
They blew through $360,000.
In less than a year.
In less than 3 months. In 3 months.
God.
They said it was gone by March.
Is that it? Is that what they were saying?
That's
crazy. And did he ever actually have an RV? That whole thing?
They did. Apparently they bought him. So I think what they said, Kathy, and like patting him on the head, look, we got you an RV, we got you some chew toys, and there's a line we can attach you to so you can run back and forth in the yard. And he's like, what?
That's a ton
look,
of money.
Right here is where your dry food goes, and the bowl next to it has water in it.
Right, because you could get a used Beamer for less than $50,000 easily.
Oh, yeah, much less.
Easily. I don't even
much
know
less,
what.
Yeah, and then, but and trips are going to cost you $10,000 at most, maybe, for
a
really good
and look
trip,
at this.
Trip for two people.
In the RV, this is a little tub you can go to the bathroom in.
Yeah. I think the majority of that was gambled away, Case.
Yeah, exactly.
And you really have to be stupid
do you
when you've been handed handed this money.
Do you think there's a chance that he thought, all right, I'm going to take this, I'm going to win.
Of course.
Well, yeah, he's a gambling addict. And then maybe then, okay, you know, or was he telling Bobbitt perhaps, we can double and triple. I'm such a good game.
Yeah, he probably was.
Yeah. Yep. Do you guys want to do like a stunt and see how much, like how quickly I could spend $300,000?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do that?
But it has to be gotten through an illegal GoFundMe campaign.
All right.
So set that up first and we'll promote it for you.
All right.
Wow. This is, I think it's going to get even weirder the more that we find out about this and the more this investigation goes on and the case.
And when the case goes, we're going to find more details.
It hasn't even started yet. But we're all talking about this stuff as if it actually did happen, but we have to wait and find out.
Allegedly.
Exactly what happened.
I just covered us.
Thank you, Kathy. All right, I want to take a break because we have a lot going on today. We have our totally office calendar girls coming in today in preparation for the party tonight, the actual release party. Look, the sun has come out. That is a good sign. So we're going to have the ladies in here in a little bit. We will find out who's on the cover. I just saw Chuck D'Amico on the other side of the glass here. He has one of the calendars, so it's official.
Preston,
it's here.
It's the only one.
It's the only one. But you'll get yours tonight at Chickies and Pete's. 7 till 10 is when the party takes place. So we'll have them in here in a little bit. Our buddy Big Joe, Jay Oakerson, is going to be at Helium Comedy Club this weekend. So he's stopping in today. And we will talk to the one and only Kevin Smith about Stan Lee passing away this week. So we'll be back with all of that in a little bit. B-Files up next. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please.
Acme Markets proudly supports Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger beginning Monday, November 26th at Xfinity Live in South Philly. If scheduling prevents you from attending in person, you can still make a difference. Stop by your local Acme throughout November and make a donation at the register. Just look for the Camp Out can when you check out, and Acme will make sure your donation goes toward foods that Phil Abundance needs most to help area families. Go to WMMR.com/campout for complete details and a list of especially needed food items. Acme Markets and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
We're going to do the bizarre file first.
All right.
We'll do it quickly. Here we go.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
This morning brought to you by Patient First, physicians, x-rays, lab tests, and prescription drugs. 19 medical centers conveniently located in eastern Pennsylvania and South Jersey. Visit patientfirst.com. We'll start with this, with the first winter storm of the season. And still dropping some snow earlier this morning, it became a nightmare on the roads. According to the Montgomery County Department of Public Safety, emergency responders had their hands full all day with as many as 145 simultaneous incidents across just Montgomery County.
Yeah, it was a nightmare.
At any given time. And the northbound lanes of Route 309 began to back up just outside of the Route 113 exit early yesterday, causing extremely lengthy delays. Now, the cause of the backup, according to multiple sources and reports, was a white van that had gotten stuck on the hill approaching the exit. The vehicle was also towing a camel, which had gotten free and was clearly visible in multiple images that were sent to the publication North Penn Now. The camel was roaming around and causing a traffic jam.
Right. It was on the way to some sort of like living nativity or something, or what was it?
That I don't know. Yeah. I don't have that information. But if you were in that yesterday, it was because a camel was walking around Montgomery
County.
And
that's not camel weather.
Not normally.
No.
So that was the issue.
This is crap.
So how many camels was this guy towing? Just the one camel?
One camel toe?
Yeah.
You just wouldn't say camel toe.
Thank you very much. High five. High five. Thank you.
A Pittsburgh man. Pittsburgh woman, I'm sorry, is...
you were still ruminating on that joke.
I was, yeah, yes. Yeah. Let me...
I'm not the only one who has bad jokes on the show, guys.
You're absolutely right.
I just stop it.
But a lot come from you.
They do. Yeah. Not the most, though.
Thank you, Kathy. Well, I don't know about that.
I don't know.
A Pittsburgh woman is facing several charges after allegedly throwing several cans of SpaghettiOs at a woman's vehicle. The incident happened last month as the victim was expecting to meet with a man who was expected to provide money for their children.
And bring SpaghettiOs.
The victim said when she appeared at the Allegheny Union Plaza building, a woman approached her and began throwing cans of SpaghettiOs at her vehicle. The victim said as she tried to get out of her car, the suspect tried stabbing her with a kitchen knife.
Okay, I would have led with the knife.
The victim was cut in the finger but managed to get away, somehow taking her attacker's purse with her. Police said the victim's vehicle had a broken back window, multiple dents, and was smeared with red sauce and pieces of pasta.
Did they explain why she was traveling with so many cans of SpaghettiOs?
No. Paperwork inside the purse helped police identify the suspect as Eileen Gettleman. But police said they reviewed surveillance video, which appeared to show several other people involved in the incident, including a man who was apparently also throwing cans of SpaghettiOs.
Wow. Police said, I kind of like SpaghettiOs.
Police said they're working to identify any additional suspects. Gettleman is charged with aggravated assault. Did you like them with the meatballs in there?
I did.
I did, too.
I could even eat SpaghettiOs cold.
I could eat them right out of the
can.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Rub them on my face.
This is right out of the movie A Few Good Men. Two elite Navy SEALs and two Marine Raiders were charged with felony murder in the June 2017 strangulation death of U.S. Army Green Beret Staff Sergeant Logan Melgar.
Jeez.
Yeah, this is a wild story.
Yeah, I saw the headline, but I didn't investigate it.
The U.S. Navy brought the charges against the four service members on Tuesday, painting a gruesome picture of the effort to kill Melgar. The suspects are accused of driving to Marine quarters to obtain duct tape, breaking into Melgar's room while he was sleeping, restraining him with the duct tape, and strangling him in a chokehold.
And what is this for?
We don't know yet. The four U.S. service members, which included two members of the famed SEAL Team 6, killed Melgar while perpetrating a burglary. Melgar was killed in Bamako, Mali, where U.S. forces are working with local military to counter the local al-Qaeda affiliate.
Wow.
Melgar died in the embassy housing he shared with other service members. In addition to felony murder, the charges against the four men include conspiracy, obstruction of justice, hazing, and burglary. The names of the two Navy SEALs are redacted from the charge sheets, but a report quotes Navy SEAL Tony Didolf saying that he and Sergeant Melgar were wrestling at 4 a.m. when a fellow SEAL, Adam Cranston Matthew, came in and joined in the horseplay. According to the SEALs, the men fell down together, and when they stood up, Melgar wasn't breathing. So that's the lie.
That's the lie they told, yeah.
And they said that they attempted CPR and tried to open his airway, but Melgar died of asphyxiation. Mm. The identities of the Marine Raiders are still not public. That is scary.
Well, if you're going to get killed, SEAL Team 6 will kill the hell out of you.
But that's, I mean, you know.
It's horrible.
These are American service people killing each other. That blew my mind.
I want to find out what it's all about.
Yeah, we need another story to lighten it up a little
please.
Bit. Please.
Another camel story.
How about this one? No other camel stories.
Damn it.
Police say, and I'm all out of SpaghettiOs.
Damn it.
Police say an Alabama man threw hot sauce on a 73-year-old store clerk during a holdup. News reports that police in the East Alabama town of Valley arrived at a convenience store on Sunday morning to find the clerk in pain with orange liquid on her face.
Do you sell SpaghettiOs?
And in her eyes. The woman told officers that a man came to the register to buy two pieces of candy and then flung a cup of liquid in her face.
Oh, God.
When she opened the cash drawer, she told officers the man then began grabbing cash. Officers later determined the liquid to be hot sauce. Police say 42-year-old Michael Brisky is charged with robbery and theft. So there you go.
Come out, Brisky.
Yep. And that is what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. All right, we got a jam-packed studio today. You guys ready to get this on?
This is an unbelievable event. Every year it gets more and more exciting.
Yep, we are all set to release the details about our Totally Office calendar. What?
It's just when the camera turns on them and they always are so self-conscious. You guys are hot.
Yes.
Just be happy with how hot you are.
All right. So we're going to meet our ladies of the Totally Office calendar. We have them on our cam right now. You can peek into the studio. So, Casey, give me some music, some mood music. There we go. So this calendar is set to be released tonight at Chickies and Peas in South Philadelphia, and they are free. And you can come by and you can meet all of the ladies in the calendar as they will be present.
It's a wonderful thing because this is obviously the calendar that we give away during the camp out, and these women participate and help us out. We can't thank them enough for doing it.
Yeah, Kathy, is everyone here or do we have...
No, so we have a girl stuck in Lehigh, and then we have another girl who had a family emergency, but she will be there tonight.
All right. Well, let's meet the ladies one at a time. We'll just say hi to them very quickly on the air, and we'll tell you what month they're in the calendar, and then we will reveal the calendar cover girl And we'll get you set to meet him tonight. Okay?
Yes, so it's very, very exciting.
The calendar looks fantastic. Thank you to OSBX, the guys who have helped us put this calendar together since day one here at MMR. And they did a phenomenal job. So let's start with the month of January. And we have, she's from My Way, out from Royersford, Pennsylvania. Please welcome Brittany to our microphone. It's January. Brittany is in her picture. And by the way, I'll show it to you when you get up here because you haven't seen them yet, have you? Okay, so Brittany was in the shower.
Ah, yes.
Her photo shoot. So here is you, Brittany. Get you a look there. Brittany doesn't mind
taking her clothes off.
Yeah. Looks fantastic. In the main picture, she is kind of looking over her left shoulder, and she's just wearing her underwear in the shower with a very sultry look on her face. And then the second one, we actually got you wet.
Yes.
So I like that picture. Where are you? You're from Royersford?
Yeah.
And what do? Are you a student or you work? Or?
Well, I'm currently a freelance makeup artist, but I work at Hooters.
Oh, you're very nice. Prussia, yeah. Okay.
Which one?
And King of Prussia.
King of Prussia location? Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Well, listen, we are proud to have you in the pages of the calendar.
Thanks.
And we'll see you tonight at the party, all right? Yeah.
Thank you so much.
All right, let's hear everybody. Yes. Miss January. All right, next we have February, a wonderful month, of course, and we have a beautiful bedroom scene for our next girl. Please welcome from West Deptford, New Jersey, it is Marissa.
Hey!
Marissa has a wonderful collection of tattoos on her left arm, for the most part, a full sleeve there.
Just a couple.
Yeah, just a couple there.
They're awesome.
And this was a bedroom shot, so we have her, both of them on the bed. We have what we call the main picture and then the inset. Which is a smaller photo down there. What do you think?
I love that.
Excellent.
So Marissa was the first shoot of the entire year, and so she was there for the bachelor party disaster.
Yes, as we told the story before, they arrived at the photo area. There's a condo that's really gorgeous, but there happened to be a full, 30-man bachelor party that had slept there the night before, unbeknownst to us.
Yeah.
They must have been thrilled to see you there.
I don't think they were.
They actually had to. They had to wash the sheets because her shot was on the bed, so they had to go wash the sheets. God. And then
I would have burned those sheets. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. What do you do? What's your thing?
I am also a makeup artist, but I'm a trainer for a cosmetics company.
Very nice. Yeah. Excellent. Well, congratulations. Thanks for being in our calendar. Let's hear it for Marissa, Miss February. All right. Next we go to what's that? You have one on your back. Let's see the back tattoos.
Wow. Whoa!
Turn all the way around. She has it looks like Japanese art, and it's a panther.
It's a panther.
That is her entire back. That's freaking awesome. All right, next for the month of March from Langhorne, Pennsylvania, it is Julie.
Yes.
Julie, come on over here. All these ladies, by the way, sitting in our studio on a couch, and we've got a great shot. She was behind the couch here. And how you doing, Julie?
Good. How are you?
Wonderful. Nice to meet you. And your picture was taken. It looks like you did some indoor and outdoor shoots.
I did.
Let me show you the picture. I'm sorry because I'm being very greedy over here. But we have the first one is you on a couch. On your knees and wearing some very, very long socks, I noticed in this
picture. Indeed,
yes. Indeed.
covered up with socks.
So while you were outside shooting, this is in a residential area. Were there any heads turning as you guys were doing that?
There was buses driving by, people on bikes.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
There was some construction happening up the street too,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But there's a great story attached to that. There was a homeless guy who gave you his last $20.
And Julie, what's your profession? What do you do?
I am a retail manager.
Okay.
You don't want to mention where? You don't have to.
A lingerie store. It's new to the U.S.
Oh, really?
Yes.
We'll keep us abreast. Excellent. As they double entendre.
Thank you. All right, Julie, thanks. We'll see you tonight, okay?
Absolutely.
Let's hear it for Julie. Month of March. Coming up next, we have the month of April. And, let's welcome. She's a Jersey girl. This is Maggie, who is...
Yes.
Our Miss April, and Maggie did a whole refrigerator scene. So we went into the kitchen and opened it up. And here's the pictures, by the way.
Wow. Show
you. Yeah. And I want to ask, you do have a popsicle Did it get sticky at all during this photo shoot?
I mean, they tried to put it everywhere.
They tried to melt it.
It didn't work.
I wouldn't like that. Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't care for that either. But she's got some strawberries and whipped cream. And really, did you keep those? Were those your panties, by the way, with the cherries on them?
Yeah, they gave them to me.
And did you get to keep them?
Yeah.
That's cool. Nice. Yeah, I didn't know we gave that stuff away. That's awesome.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, very cool.
So any undergarments, they don't keep for other shoots.
Okay.
So the girls keep them.
That makes sense, right? All right, so you're from Sicklerville?
Yes.
Okay, and what do you do?
I'm majoring in art at Rowan right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
What type of artist you want to be, like a graphic designer?
Art education.
Art education, okay. Yeah. All right, well, good luck with that, and congratulations on being Miss April.
We'll see you later on.
Let's hear from Aggie.
Yes.
Okay, so we're working our way into spring now, and this next shoot took place exclusively outside. Another Jersey girl. This is Shay.
Shay.
Who is Miss May.
Whoa, alliteration.
How about that? How you doing, Shay?
I'm well. How about you?
Doing wonderful. So here's your shot. You were outside with a motorcycle.
That's right.
And we were very impressed with both these. You had a one-piece. It looks like a one-piece bathing suit here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then and this one is some really cool strappy lingerie. Or was that a bathing suit?
It was actually a bathing suit.
That's a bathing suit.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So same thing with Julie. How about shooting outside? Was that a little interesting?
It was interesting, but it was very fun, and the weather was thankfully very nice for it. So it was good.
Yeah, that's I remember. It was a couple of fairly warm days. It was not too bad.
Yeah, no, it was right. Perfect for it.
Worked out for it. Well, they look phenomenal.
So you're from Williamstown, and what's your line? Or are you a student, or do you work, or what?
I'm actually a graduate from Rowan University, but I am currently a social media marketing advisor. So I just started my own business, and that's predominantly what I've been doing. So
that's sensational.
Do you want
awesome.
To give out the name of the business?
Yeah.
Or?
It's still undecided. I haven't filed the LLC yet, but it's in the works. So.
All right. All right. Well, once you do, you let us know. We'll get the word out.
Thank you.
Most definitely. Miss May and Shay.
Yeah.
All right. On into working our way into summertime. And we have a very lovely girl from New Jersey once again. Elena is Miss June. Woo! Step on up here, Elena. These pictures turned out phenomenal.
Oh, my God.
Look at this.
Yes.
Right?
Elena
was wearing a... Damn.
That was good.
Wearing some purple lingerie in the main shot in the inset. She is doing the little unhooking of
Yes, I do that too.
Of the top. I know you do, Steve. In fact, that inspired this particular
Absolutely.
Shoot. Where were you in this particular shot in the inset? Do you know where that was?
I was sitting on a table in like the living room area.
Okay, I got you.
Interesting.
Were any of the leftover bachelor party guys there when you showed up?
No, just all the alcohol and beer.
It's a residual.
You can smell it, right?
Yeah, I wanted some, but you know.
All right, and what's your story, Elena? What do you do?
I work at a dental office, but I also am a screenwriter and hopefully a director someday.
We know some people.
Oh, yeah, well, you let us know.
Yes. All right, well, fantastic. June is all yours. Congratulations. Thanks for being here. Elena, let's hear it.
That's my birthday, your anniversary month.
All right, that is correct. Next, we move on to July in the heat of the summer. And sometimes you got to cool off, so you jump into the tub. And that's what we did with Alexa.
Yeah.
Alexa is from Philadelphia. And Alexa, at one point, is wearing just bubbles in a particular shot. Here are the photos. They turned out nice, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had you in the tub in the first one with you were still wearing some lingerie. Does wet clothing feel weird to you, or are you good with that?
A little bit. It was okay, though.
Okay. Then... So to get those bubbles to stay on there, was that difficult?
They had to make bubbles upstairs, downstairs.
Yeah?
And they just had to, like, carry them from upstairs to downstairs to put on me.
Seriously?
And to get them to stay in place, bubbles are naturally sort of ephemeral. They go away quickly.
Yeah.
So you had to seize all them.
I had, like, two PAs on me at all times.
Nice. All right, so you're from Philly?
I am from South Philly.
South Philly, okay. And what do you do?
I am currently a dance teacher, and I dance in Atlantic City and Philly all over.
Awesome. Okay. What type of dance do you teach?
I teach jazz, ballet, hip-hop, tap.
You do it all.
I'll do it all.
Preston, we've been looking to take some ballet classes.
Yes, we have.
Here's your
chance, could be our
guys.
Entree.
Yeah, it could be. All right, Alexa, thanks for being here. Thanks for being in the calendar. Miss July. Alexa, all these ladies at the party tonight, by the way. We're making our way through the year, and eventually we're going to find out who the cover girl. Now, I believe Miss August is not here.
Right, she is not here.
So it's Angelica, who is also from Mullica Hill.
Yes.
She's from New Jersey as well. And she had a family thing that kept her from getting here this morning. But we'll see if we can meet her tonight.
Yes.
But she looks amazing.
We sent her our best.
We had a great bedroom shoot with her, and you are going to love that particular photo. Next, we move on to September. We just couldn't stay out of the bedroom. She is also on the sheets. This is Arielle, who is Miss September. Wow, you don't mind getting naked either. Did you see these?
I didn't, but damn.
Wow.
I kind of had an idea, but yeah.
They came out great.
That was my first time doing something like that, but everybody made me feel really comfortable. And
that's awesome.
Like, really, really fun.
It's good to hear that.
Good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, we thank you for doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, the first shot she has a sheet on. The inset.
She doesn't.
And she ain't got no sheet on. These are really great pictures.
Thank
you. The month of September. You're also from Philadelphia?
No, I'm from Rhode Island.
You're from Rhode Island,
which is a small town within Philadelphia.
Yeah. You're from Providence. Do you live here currently?
Yeah, I've been in Philly for about 4 years now.
Okay, all right.
She used to work for Steven Singer.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's
Shout
right.
Out to Steve. He texted me this morning.
We talked about that.
Good.
Yes.
Hi, everybody. So.
That's awesome. Well, we got you in the month of September. Thanks for being a part of the calendar.
Thank you.
Oh, what do you do now, by the way?
So I'm a print and runway model here in Philly and New York, and I do like events and stuff.
Good for you. That's fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Well, if any events, we'll help you. We'll get the word out for you, okay?
Thank you.
Yes.
Let's hear it for Arielle, guys. All right. On to the October. A lot of people love to be Miss October, Steve.
Because of Halloween.
Yeah, absolutely. And,
the Feast of Samhain.
The next gal we actually had in the kitchen for this particular one, it is Angelina.
Woo!
Angelina.
Yes.
Come on over here. And Casey, Angelina is from Delaware County, Pennsylvania.
Media.
She's a media gal. That's
right.
Oh,
the right.
Nice part. Yeah. Okay, so in this first picture, we have her in the kitchen, and they put a handprint on her butt.
It's so I love
it. It's flour, as if she had been working in the kitchen. How did was that your own hand, or how would they do?
It was someone on the set. She actually had to do it a bunch of times, keep going over it. So it was like getting my butt grabbed like every second. Victoria's dog kept coming over and like trying to look at her.
Are you serious?
Like, we have a picture of like the dog and then her like on my butt.
Oh my god!
Yeah. Well, we'll sell that for the After Dark edition of the calendar.
These are great pictures, and this second one is that's pretty hot, man. So you guys are going to want to see this.
They all look phenomenal. It's so good.
Once again, we have pushed the boundaries with our calendar.
Yes, this year we did.
Yes,
yeah,
we did.
We laughingly say office calendar.
Oh, yeah.
It ain't no office calendar.
Angelina, what do you do?
I'm currently a Hooters girl, and I'm a personal trainer.
And which Hooters you work?
Concordville.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
And do you train at a couple of different places, or are you?
I was at LA Fitness, but now I just do it by myself.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Miss October. It's Angelina. All right. Follow that up with, is Miss November here? Do we know?
What depends on her name.
All right. It's Ashley from Cape May. As there's so many girls.
Ashley.
She's right there. Ashley, come on over here. Ashley is adorbs, may I say.
Totes adorbs.
Yeah, absolutely. She's wearing a red bathing suit in the top photo in the, it's all bathing suits with her in the insert. She's wearing a floral print, which looks fantastic. Ashley, are you, are swimsuits your thing? You wear them proudly when you go out?
Yes, I love swimsuits.
Okay.
I have 50.
50?
Holy
hell.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you're from Cape May, so you have a lot of opportunity to get out in the
every
water.
Day.
No kidding.
I go to the beach every day.
That's awesome.
Did you have fun at the photo shoot?
Yeah, I loved it. I loved shooting on the balcony. It was a completely different experience. I had a great time.
That's cool. That's where this was, on the balcony?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she was kind of like outside on a balcony. It was really cool. It overlooked part of the city. It was really nice.
I'm sure work came to a screeching halt around the balcony that day.
No kidding. What do you do, Ashley?
I'm a cheerleader at Temple University.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, awesome. And what are you studying at Temple?
I'm physical therapy.
All right. Excellent. Well, good luck
We'd
with
love that.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Ashley, Miss November.
Yay!
We'll get our final month, and this is a great shot as well.
She is not here. She
Miss
is
December
the one
is not here. She's stuck in the Lehigh Valley.
Yes.
Oh my God.
She's from a place that I'm not familiar with, Palmerton, Pennsylvania. Okay,
that's where the elevator was invented.
It was. Yes. Yes. I did not know that.
Oh, you didn't know?
No. Her name is Elsie, and she looks phenomenal in this particular picture. And you're going to have to see when you come out tonight.
Very nice.
All right. So those are all the ladies. We are now going to reveal who's on the cover. Drum roll, please. So it was a tough choice.
An incredibly tough choice.
We could have put all you guys on the cover. Look at, they're all doing a drum roll. We could have put every single one of you guys on our cover, but we had to narrow it down to one. We took votes, and we have chosen. And so this year's cover girl for the Totally Office calendar is Shay. Shay, come on back up here. And it really was difficult. We went through a lot of different pictures, and we kind of went back and forth on who to choose. And then we had to narrow down, once we chose Shay, we had to narrow down which of her pictures, because there were so many great ones.
And we couldn't decide from her pictures. There were so many good ones.
First off, you look fantastic. The picture's fantastic, It has a cool vibe to it. It's
Thank
a perfect
you.
Cover shot.
It was my first time shooting on a motorcycle, and I cannot say how much fun it was.
No kidding. It was
awesome. Yeah, it was really cool.
So Shay is with a really cool bike. It's a Triumph motorcycle.
Yeah.
She's kind of leaning on it. She's wearing the bathing suit, that strappy bathing suit, as I mentioned earlier. And she just, the curve of her body just fit perfectly for what we were going for. So congratulations for being our cover girl, Shay. And you guys are all amazing, and everybody will be there tonight at Chickies and Pete's, and this calendar is free of charge as long as we have them available. So come out tonight, and one per person.
One per person, exactly, because we want you to be there. We want to have enough for everybody, and it is a damn good one, so make sure you come out.
All the ladies are on our webcam in the studio right now if you want to tune in and check them out, and then come out and meet them in person. They want to sign the autographs and get pictures and all that good stuff. So that'll be tonight. Thank you, ladies. Wonderful, and I'm so happy we've got this together now and for you. Yeah. We do have to go ahead. We do have to take a break. Big J. Okerson's here. Yeah. I see him right now. We're going to get him in the studio when we return. Stay with us.
Here we go. Here comes the MM Army.
What's going on?
Join Brent Poor Sunday from 1 to 3 at Collie's, 7919 Westchester Pike in Upper Darby. Enjoy 250 Bud and Bud Light drafts and $3 bottles and win Bud Light Philly special t-shirts. Sunday from 3:30 to 5:30, Marissa Magnata rocks the best place for beer, wings, and sports, PJ Wellahan's and Maple Shade. Watch the birds and win prizes from Harris as they show you how to use the book, the new sports betting book from Harris and Bally's. Don't miss the Kimmel Center presents Napoleon Dynamite, a conversation with John Hader, Efren Ramirez, and Tina Majorino this Sunday, hosted by Nick McElwain. Info and tickets at KimmelCenter.org.
93.3 WMMR, everything and everywhere that rocks.
Our next guest is hands down one of the funniest people you will ever meet in your life.
Phenomenal.
Absolutely. And we love him to death. He's going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow. Big J. Yes!
Hey! That's right, everyone. I'm here. I'm not Miss August or December.
No.
I don't know, Kathy. Any of that traffic, did it seem like something that would have kept Miss December out of here?
Yes, I think so.
I don't know where she was coming from. Hey, did any of that traffic add up?
Were you here one time before when we rolled out the calendar?
He was.
Yeah, I was
here for a calendar. I was here for Philadelphia's hottest trans.
Really?
Yeah. Right.
Did sure we do are. That? I totally forgot.
Yeah, Philadelphia's sexiest lady boy.
You guys met, right? You guys got to hang out after.
I've never seen more women in a room and not a pube for miles. I can guarantee it.
You know, there was a weird situation we had you in, right?
It was his friend.
Yes, yeah.
It ended up being a weird situation for my friend.
But stories to tell your children.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we all found at the same time. And I don't remember what time it was, but it was definitely too late.
That's awesome.
Dear Lord.
I have to tell you, I watched a couple weeks ago, the Rich Voss roast.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were sensational on
that.
Oh,
thank you so much.
It was just
so nerve-wracking.
Was it? Yeah. You had a lot of your contemporaries who are heavy hitters, but we've had a lot of them in here, and your name always comes up as one of their favorites.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Yeah, no, it was just, for one, it was a bunch of heavy hitters, people that I've looked up to for years and admire, and then also I'm so bad at preparation, and I do so much like off the cuff comedy in my stand up anyway, but not so much like trying a new joke for the first time. It's like untested.
No, I hear you. So it's like
you can't try. I can't go to a comedy club and be like, "Hey guys, this joke's about Rich Voss."
Right?
Yeah. Like, what?
What is this man doing?
Yeah.
No, I hear you. So it's a focused set that is going to burn up in one telling, and then it's gone. Yeah.
But it went great. The crowd was awesome.
Yeah, it was cool.
Nice.
It's pretty amazing.
I noticed that, and I said it to you right away. You know, you look like you've lost some more weight. And is it a bigger guy who has lost weight? Do you get tired of hearing that?
No, not at all. Good. I'll take it. I tried so hard. Yeah, I did. Every time I do a television thing, I'm like, well, this is probably the last time they're going to let me on television.
Yeah.
So I should try to get one where I, you know, it's already bad enough I do comedy sitting on a stool. So every time I do it, when I did my hour special on Comedy Central, I had already lost a bunch of weight to get to that size. And then sitting on a stool, every time they film you, you're like, this camera guy hates me.
Yeah.
This guy doesn't like me at all. Is that a pile of tires? So I knew for the Netflix special, I knew that I was going to be sitting again. So I tried again to lose weight.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I didn't lose that much. But then I also learned how to sit with my back arched.
There you go.
Oh, you're doing all the cheats. Yeah.
And I covered my nipples with suds. I guess some people stole my idea. That's cool. That's cool. Right. I said, everyone jump in.
You know, it's funny because it happens. This is why we're on radio. I mean, Kathy and Marissa obviously are you know, they're pleasant to look at, but we are not. And whenever we do any TV or anything, I'm like, dear God, do we look horrific? And people say, there's a different angle. There's some people who've had actors and actresses come in, and they know their angle. They know, you know, what's the best way to
make
their side.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? I think
if you ask those things, it makes me feel like I'm admitting too much bad about myself.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like, Donna, can you not film me from, I don't know, obviously sideways and from the floor, please?
Right.
Watching that unfold for people, I remember seeing, I've been a Marilyn Manson fan forever.
Yeah.
And I started seeing him at the when it was the Camden East Center.
Yes.
What's it now? Susquehanna Bank.
Yeah, Susquehanna Bank. Or no,
B&T.
B&T,
yeah. So I went to see him in there, and he just captivated me. I thought it was so amazing watching him and through the years. And I remember taking my girlfriend like a year and a half ago to see him with just like the promise of like, I've never seen anyone perform like this guy. It's amazing. And just even now coming out all fat and clunky.
Yeah.
And it was a Chicago Open. I was out performing in Chicago, and we went to the festival the next day. They were filming him. He was on a podium. And he also, growing up and watching this guy, he would do a lot of gross things on stage. But it was so rock and roll, you're like, this guy's cool. Now seeing him be like almost 50 and like lumbering around on stage like an old idiot. Right. And they're filming him from like, I mean, directly up his fat lack of chin neck.
Yeah.
And he... And in the beginning of the song, he blew a snot rocket.
Oh, my God.
But it's a thing.
But that's Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, it's very Marilyn Manson. You blow it, and then, you know, even as you like, it's the coolest. they're shooting him from up, and he's on the big screen.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, honk, and it just hangs on his lip.
Oh.
And you hear, like, whatever thousand people go, oh. And then he doesn't know he's on the big screens, and then he's just doing, like, the.
Oh, God.
And it was like, oh.
Jesus.
And my girlfriend always tries. She goes, he was great. I'm like, no, he wasn't. He was old and weird.
Jay, have you been to, I assume you have, but an Ozzy show over the last few years?
Yeah, I've seen Black Sabbath. Yeah,
and what do you think about Ozzy still going? Because he comes out on stage and he sounds like Ozzy, but he cannot move around the stage at all anymore.
No, he just stands in place and reads the words, which is pretty hilarious. But it doesn't matter.
It's like an evening with Ozzy as opposed to a concert.
But that doesn't bother you?
No, it doesn't bother
me at
all.
Who was the politician? It just happened in the last cycle leading up to the election. Who actually tongued the snot off his?
Oh, that was Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz? Did you? God!
I can't even think about
snot. Snot is my vomit reaction. If I, you know, delightful little kids on America's Funniest Home Videos with a snot bubble. I want a power vomit.
It's bold stance, Steve.
Yes,
take it off.
Bold stance to take. You know, guys, I'm out in the snot. All right.
Now there are people who are into snot. Find it funny.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, Ted Cruz's face in general is my vomit reaction, just because he looks like he's been squished a little bit.
Oh,
jumped!
Get it off the monitor.
Oh, and now it's in.
Ah, so you see, everyone has the snot reaction.
Don't get high on your own supply.
Jay, I watched your special on Netflix, the Degenerates.
Yeah.
Was that all filmed in one night, or was that like five different?
Oh, it was it was three comics a night, two shows a night.
Okay.
So it was me, Brad Williams, and Lisa Traeger. And the other night was Joey Diaz, Yamanika, and Christina P.
It was awesome, but I wasn't used to hearing you do a set because the last couple of times I listened to you, they were your crowd work albums. And
Yeah.
I can't believe you do that. Like, you just go out there without a net, and you just sit there, and for an hour, you... All right, what are we going to talk about here? Do you have at least, like, a bookend, you know?
No idea.
Really?
Just give it a whirl. But what we're trying to do now, because I have to do one more album for Comedy Central. It was a three-album deal for the crowd work things. And the first one, we did two shows, and we used mostly one show, but edited in some parts of the second show. And then the second one, I was like, let's just do one take, just go straight through and see if we could do it. And that went good. And now we have to figure it out. So we had the idea that I should go. I think I'm going to try. We're trying to do this. It's a lot of logistics involved.
All right.
Trying to do Showtime at the Apollo. You know, the Apollo Theater?
But
the amateur night where they boo, they come to boo.
Yeah. Dude.
And go at the end of the amateur night without telling the crowd that it's anything more than that and just start doing an hour of
Are you going to do it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I want to,
Notoriously.
I'm trying to. I shouldn't say that we're definitely doing it. But I think, they just boo and the guy comes out and
with the hook.
Off
yeah.
With the hook. But I think it'll be fine. To practice for it, I watched a video of someone bombing on the Apollo. And just they keep showing the crowd and the people standing like, boo.
Yeah.
And I was like, what can I say to these people? And I was like, I'll do it. I go, they might have to get me out of there with security, but I'll get
Let us know, because I think I might take a trip up to try to see that. Because it's a legendary, and people who do legendary well in that place. Room love it. And
I think I'll get it. I think it'd take me like 15 minutes, but I think that'll be kind of the funny thing is for them to be like, what's happening here exactly?
That's as close to a lion tamer as you'll ever get. I mean, that's because when they love you, you're raised to messianic levels. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it does make you feel good. I started at the Laugh House in Philadelphia, so I was the only white guy in black rooms when I started forever. Yeah. And it was, when you'd kill, you would kill.
Yeah.
It was funny having the guy, Keith Robinson, who ended up mentoring me, taking me out of Philadelphia, telling me the first time he saw me on stage, like, you know, he's like, you're a funny kid, but you gotta get rid of some of that, you know, overly performance. I had so many jokes, like with music playing in the background and stool humping and everything. He goes, you got to stop. And it was weird because we were doing a black room together.
Yeah.
And Keith's black.
Yeah.
And it was funny him giving me this advice. And meanwhile, people were stepping over him to take a picture with me in front of an airbrush picture of Tupac.
That's hilarious. But so at this point with the obviously the crowd work stuff, and I mean you're always looking to expand. You have your show with Dan Soder.
Bonfire.
So getting back to the earlier point about slimming up, you're also a really good actor. You also have that going.
Oh, thank you.
How much of that interests you, or is that just a fun element in all that you do?
I hate it.
You hate it?
It's awesome to be in something when it comes out, but the process of, like, there's a movie coming out called Isn't It Romantic? It's,
right.
It's a Rebel Wilson, Adam Devine movie. It's a romantic comedy, I guess. And I'm in two scenes of it, 30 seconds of screen time total, cumulative.
Yeah.
Like a 14-hour day.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, it's a lot of hurry up.
The idea of that, I don't understand.
Like, yeah.
Now, when it comes out, I'll be like, okay. But it's, the process of doing it, I've never enjoyed. I like radio. It's like, this medium, I like them. And stand-up, I like the immediate, like, call response.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. I want to ask about your shirt and your tattoo. What is that? It's a logo.
That's the Legion of Skanks logo. That's what we did. I drew that. It's so cool because I drew this like 8 years ago or so in a green room of Caroline's up in New York for a show idea we had and called Legion of Skanks. And then it just kind of evolved and it's become the name of one of my podcasts that I do that's gotten popular.
Right.
And it's just the...
It's the foulest podcast.
Isn't it
recognized as one of the foulest...
Oh, yeah, the most offensive podcast on Earth. Yeah. Well, we say that because it's just like...
Is that
the show is so ridiculously... like tongue-in-cheek satire of just like how awful things are. We just try to take the worst subjects and go at them.
Okay.
But like, so we kind of announced that so it doesn't cause problems. It still stirs people up for sure.
That's what kills me though, because sometimes there's a comedy of excess that's intentionally excessive to draw that laughter. And you go back to the Aristocrats joke, which is one of the first. I always find it amusing people who can't just turn themselves over to the absurdity of going to that ultimate level.
A guy bum rushed our live show a couple weeks. It's online, and grabbed the microphone from our guest who was from the kid from Pete and Pete on Nickelodeon. We're just sitting there being so like sweet and nice. And this guy grabbed the microphone. He goes, "I'll let you guys." He was like a protester that hid in plain sight. And he was like, "I'll let you guys get back to your white supremacist meeting. But you should just know that blah, blah, blah." And he like threw the microphone down. And it was just like,
"Would you guys just look
like white supremacist?" You're like, two Jewish guys and a Puerto Rican. Like, they really loosened up their membership. They must be like the white supremacists.
Wait, listen, things are getting lean. We have to bring on the Jews. We're losing members. We need the Jews.
We'll let the Jews in, but I'm not letting the Polish in.
Dude, Jay, what we've been talking about news-wise, you familiar with this this scam that took place, this GoFundMe?
Oh, yeah.
So they came by.
Never try to help one bum. Yeah,
they came by last year. They came by our Camp Out for Hunger right after that story broke, and we interviewed all three of them on the air, and we got word of this yesterday that the three of them were in on this together.
In cahoots.
Oh, my all of them God. In cahoots, and then the one who wasn't getting enough money, the guy who was the homeless guy, he goes to take them to court.
Yeah.
And that's how...
To sue him.
To sue him for not giving him his part of the scam.
Yes! Of the stolen money!
Never... help one bum. You ever try to give a homeless guy food? Yeah. They look at you like you're handing them a bag of someone's dump. Yeah. It's really, they're like, what am I going to do with this? Like, you're like, eat it. It's hot. It's food. And they're like, I don't. Like, what? They're so baffled by it. Do a GoFundMe for like an overall like shelter or something. Yeah. Like, to give it to.
There you go.
I've never seen that work out good where you help one person.
I used to try, and I used to try to switch because I will. I figure, okay, I'm doing it for the right. We talked about this earlier. Your heart's in the right place. You're doing it for the right thing. If the person is doing it for an affair or, you know, is trying to con you, that it's on them. But you tried to do something nice. But for a brief period, I will give, you know, money. But you're right about the food. They look at it like, I don't like ham.
I've given money. Yeah, exactly. Is there gluten in this? I'll give money on an individual level sometimes overall, but even that's like never seems to be overly. Look, I don't need you to write me a letter, a dissertation of how fantastic I've been to you, but I mean, like, you know, at least act like. Yeah, I did something at all. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's very bizarre.
I had a funny experience a couple of years ago. I was walking in Center City, and sometimes I give money, sometimes I don't. A lot of times I give food. But I came across this guy, and he was clearly homeless. So he was telling me he needed money for bus fare because he had to get back to the shelter. And I'm like, oh, seems like a good story. All right, here's $5 for bus fare. I go around the corner. I had to go. I did something. And then like 20 minutes later, I'm walking back and we came face to face with each other. And it was like I walked in on my son who I had just told to not play PlayStation. And he was playing PlayStation. He was like, ugh. And he just kind of looked at me like, I know what I just told this guy. And I'm like, you liar. And I didn't say anything to him, but it was like.
You should have given him exact change. You gave him enough to get heroin.
Yeah.
I took it on that bus so I could buy heroin right here. And as they say, home is where the heroin is.
Yeah. It's crazy. So with everything else going on, the show and everything, what's coming up for you? It's been a while since we've seen you.
Yeah, pretty much just did the radio show. Has been doing great on Sirius XM. So yeah. Pumping that out in the podcasts.
By the way, Dan was, as they were interviewing for something, they sent it over to us, and he was very complimentary about the show. You guys are always very complimentary when you're on other shows. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Getting the word out.
Oh, yeah, for you guys. Yeah, you guys are. I always think it's the coolest thing. The best nod you guys get is Joe Rogan, who needs no press anywhere he goes, always like shouts you guys and still gives you guys.
It's awesome. Pretty cool. It means the world to us. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you saw Opie from Opie and Anthony sent like a cut a wrestling promo for him not doing his show. Did you see that on the street?
No.
Oh, it's very uncomfortable. Oh. No.
You know, it never understood those dynamics. It was never anything that we got involved with. You just try to do the best. It's like what you do. You just
do your show.
We tried to start a radio war with Bob and Tom, but then they just banded.
That's a shame.
Bob and Tom. Bob and Tom have been around for a long. Well, used to be around for a long time.
They're
and,
garbage.
Keep it up.
They're junk.
Yeah, I'm like, and I look.
It's the worst radio show I've ever done.
Really? Why?
They want you to do bits.
It's a yuck fest.
And I mean, and I was like, yeah, you don't want me to do bits. Like, my bits are too. And they go, well, that's how it works here. I go, well, I'll leave. Like, it's fine. And they go, we need you to do bits. I go, well, what do you want me to do? The one about this? You know, and I'm just saying, like, vile things. Yeah. I'm like, if you want to do bits, it's going to be, like, I can't. I'm like a dirty comic.
It's going to be bad.
Hey, do the latest bit about your daughter.
They got, the things people, the hate mail I've gotten for that Netflix special, like, the things people have to write to, like, when someone has to cite the parts they don't like, it is so funny reading that.
Oh, my God. Oh, that has to be worth it alone.
He thinks there's humor in about his daughter's genitals. I'm like, why? How can you write that?
Does that bother you?
No. You know what's funny? I said this to someone. I ignore it all. But, like, the thing is, it doesn't bother me. It's just I do still get an emotion, like, involuntary.
Okay.
When someone writes, like, this ruin my day, you know, boycott Netflix and these hashtags will start about it. And you're just like, I swear to you, the intention of this was just to make you laugh. Understanding it might make some people go, it's not my thing.
But that's
fine. But when someone's like, they have such like hatred for, and I said that what's funny is the complaint is always very personal.
Yeah.
Like, I've done nothing personal. I've just made like a broad spectrum joke that somebody can twist to make it, you know, he's talking about this. And, you know,
so we've had sometimes we're good. We don't get bombarded. But occasionally, like if someone will complain about something that I've done, I say, OK, but everyone has a personal thing. That's their thing. You made fun of this. But did you laugh at this? But
I did point that out. I wrote back to one person and I was like, I'm not going to write back to anything.
Yeah,
else.
Yeah, yeah.
But the person
if the person is thoughtful, you'll do it.
Well, the transgender joke was the one that caught some heat, which I saw coming. And then someone said where I made a joke about wishing it was legal to beat your children, but with like a focused reason, not just like crazy abuse.
Yeah.
Once again, it's like a joke. And someone wrote, as a victim of domestic abuse, like as a victim of domestic abuse, I don't think it's appalling you would make a joke about that. And when I wrote back, I was like, again, that has nothing to do with what my joke's about. And I was like, sorry that happened to you. But I was also like, isn't it interesting that you complain about that only and, like, the other complaints
the
I
other
got were about this trans show. And I go, hey, both of you only complained about the thing that affected you personally. You know what I mean?
Right.
That person didn't go, and this, and then it's always, like, it's just the one joke that hit them personally. And no one sees that before they start taking to the computer to be like, how can you say this one specific thing? And you're like, you got to be mad at all of it or none of it.
Right, right.
Well, you're not out to hurt anybody. That's what gets missed.
The bummer. That's the bummer when people get upset.
You're trying to make people laugh.
My thing was to make you laugh.
Yeah, right?
Understanding that you might not laugh, but so to have somebody go like, it's inspired you to go write like a four-page letter to Netflix seems pretty like,
you know,
it's awesome to some degree.
What kills me, Jay, is that, and we always bring this up, then there's about 45 million other shows on Netflix. Stop watching. Move on to the next thing.
Really?
Or don't listen.
You're making me look such a bad boy in front of these chicks.
Yeah.
That's right.
They're lining you up. Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about it on a long ride on my motorcycle the other day. I don't even know how to turn on a motorcycle. I've been on a motorcycle two times. Both times we're behind with my arms around a man's waist. And both times I burned my calf on the exhaust pipe. Two for two.
Two. I think the most telling thing was you said, I don't know how to turn on a motorcycle.
I don't.
Turn on.
Is there? Is that what you do? Right? Do you turn it on?
You start
it up.
Yeah.
You can make the sound.
I know there's something where I have to go like that. Right?
Dude, I burned my brother when he first got his motorcycle. I know exactly what you're talking about. I just, like in Kung Fu, when he used to pick up the burning thing on his forearms, I had those burns on my calves for so long.
I still have a scar on my leg. I burned it on a muffler of a moped when I was in eighth grade. By the way, my friend's dad bought them a moped when we were in eighth grade. Like, you need a license for that.
When you were a kid, I mean, Preston, you remember this, the dirt bikes, the mini bikes.
Yeah,
this was all stuff, the go-karts, it's what you did.
We rode this thing around the streets, and I just kind of looked back at it. I was like, I was 12 years old riding a motorcycle, essentially.
I never got into the moped. I even got out of, the pedal dirt bike pretty early. It was one ramp where I was in the air feeling like, and as a fat kid, too, you're like, I'm flying. This is zero G. And then realizing the bike's not underneath you anymore.
Yeah.
And then come careening down right on the handlebars. And then you got to cry and carry your bike home. Making that solar plex noise.
Yeah.
Ooh, I hate this bike.
That's great. Oh my God.
So your show's tomorrow night completely sold out.
Yeah.
So you got two tonight. Is it crowd work? Is it a set? Is it?
It's going to be a lot of crowd work because I'm out of jokes. If you watched the Netflix special, that was all of it.
Well,
I did the hour like 2 years ago for Comedy Central.
Right.
That hour special. And then I got together 30, 40 minutes over the course of that year between, and then exhausted that this week. And I just kept procrastinating because I don't sit and write jokes at all. Like I go... I kind of write from going off the cuff and seeing where it goes.
Right.
I have these loose ideas during the day and try to work them out. But I was touring those jokes for the 6 months of it coming out, just going like, well, I can't tell them at all anymore.
Yeah.
I go, and while I'm telling these, some new stuff will come and stick. And then the week it came out, I was in Minneapolis the next weekend. And I just told the crowd, I was like, I hope you guys are funny because, I hope you got a lot of weird stuff going on in your lives because I got nothing.
Do you ever get tired of your material? I mean,
immediately.
Yeah, and how long? Okay, well, I was going to say how long does that take, but you already said immediately.
No, you get excited to do it for a while, and then I try to put it away and only do it on the road because that's what will happen with a joke. Anything at some point when it was killing when you first figured it out.
Right.
And then months later, you'll be like, why is this not killing anyone? It's the way you're telling it. It's like there's no, you'd have no oomph in it anymore. And if I stay away from it for a little bit, it'll make me, I never write anything down, so it'll make me approach it differently. Oh. I'll think of a different line or something.
It's like a hit
that's
song.
That's the bummer of continuing to do those jokes for, the 4, whatever it is, 5 months between filming and the coming out.
Right.
Was that when I saw the special, when it came out, I was like, I've made that better. I have a better line for that now, or something. Or there's another part to it now or something. So
You're never going to be, it's like a great director who's sitting with an editor. You can just over polish something. But it's good for you to be a little disappointed instead of being, that's awesome.
I'll never think that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It makes you a better comic.
And then adding the radio show aspect to it as well, because once you get that material out through that, you're not going to use that on stage, right?
That's what sometimes the radio does, fuel, because it's an idea we have in a conversation where if I say something funny that's like the seedlings or something, I can definitely go with that. But it's funny now also doing radio as much as I'm doing it, and I love it so much because it is more kind of in the form of crowd work in that way.
Yeah.
It's just talking. We kind of come in and just start going.
Mm-hmm.
I do, my mind now operates much more when I see something in the world or something happens to me. Or I used to have I'll go on stage tonight and I'll start talking about that. Where now you're like, this is going to be.
I got to remember this.
I popped this on. Yeah. I'm going on the radio right now and I'm going to go talk about it there.
These little notes that I have right here is just stuff that I think of at the last second. I'm like, write that down. Don't forget that. We'll talk about
that. I have one of the funniest things in the world would be if I just sat and went through my just iPhone notes. Long run through thousands of things that'll just say,
just little idea starters.
Yeah, yeah. It's like library fart.
Right.
And if they don't talk about it like that day or two, like a week later you go back and you're like,
this is it. So I keep a list of 80 things that are always there in the back, and it goes all the way back to me trying to insert a rectal thermometer with a forklift.
Right.
So I mean, these ideas that you have, that float around. But yeah, because Now you're a little bit more, okay, that's, I'm going to save that for the air. I'm going to save that for the air. And that's, it's a different dynamic.
We Every thought, third thing, though, is has the word, it's just me trying to write keywords that I saw on a World Star Hip Hop video so I can talk about that.
Yeah.
I mean, World Star Hip Hop can keep a radio show going for a decade. It's insanity.
Is it? Yeah.
Wow, it's the best. As a 40-year-old, I get to keep up on the goings-on of Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Yeah, you're right. So we were talking today about Tekashi 6ix9ine and the face tattoos.
Yeah.
So who's by your reckoning, has the most outlandish face tattoos? Because now there's a number of them.
Oh, that Post Malone
guy. Post Malone.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't it say, like, stay awake under his eyes?
Yeah, he's got barbed wire at the top of his skull as well.
Right.
Yeah, you got to, like, hope you die young. Like, that's going to be a weird old man thing to have.
Well, we were talking about
it's going to say stay awake, and then on top of his eyelids, it's going to say pop pop. Stay awake, pop pop.
That's great.
Oh, God.
Man, this guy, Lil Skies, has 3.6 million followers on Instagram with 9 posts.
Look at this beast.
I don't understand, like, the thing. It's all, like, the YouTube celebrity.
No.
You know, a social media celebrity. I don't know how that kind of came out of nowhere. But sometimes, like, that Post Malone's got a song or two that, like, you're like, it's producers, though. It's smart. The Cash Me Outside girl, I've gone 180 on her. We went from, like, just crapping all over to think time. I'm almost a fan. I bought a new Explorer yesterday, and you have to name it. You have to nickname it in the Ford app.
Yeah.
And I named it Bad Baby. That's her name. That's her rap name.
I
love her. And
is it Bobby? Like Barbie? Bad Barbie?
No, Bad Baby.
Okay, all right.
Bahad Bahaby.
Okay.
She is garbage, but I love her. I've picked sides in the Whoa Vicky Bad Baby argument.
Well, you know, she's fighting now Iggy Azalea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know Whoa Vicky?
Oh, that's who
you
want
to put a good side-by-side? Look at Whoa Vicky and Lamb Chop. Remember Lamb Chop?
Yes.
Sherry Lewis's Lamb Chop?
Lewis.
I just really dated myself for all these hot chicks. You guys remember Lamb? Remember William Catt from America's Greatest Hero? Greatest American Hero?
So, they all kill me, but the one that I thought was really Lil Tay.
Oh, yeah, she was hilarious.
And then now she's on. So Lil Tay was this.
Gone, right?
Right. Well, because she was on. No one. It came as no shock to anybody that an adult was feeding her all the lines. But now she's involved in this legal battle with, I guess, her guardian and this other thing. And I have to say, it's incredibly compelling in a freak show way.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a Todd Browning freaks thing playing out live.
I can't believe Cash Me Outside. A producer got a hold of her. Now, not Sherry Lewis, actual Lamb Chop.
Lamb Chop. We're looking at a comparison of these two side by side. She's got a, yes. She looks a little bit like Lamb Chop.
We, on the bonfire, we do a thing. There's Whoa Vicky and some dude she was hanging out with.
Right.
Got into they insulted.
They threw shade.
Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
And then came back with an apology. An apology video that's like 30 seconds long. And whenever we have to apologize in the bonfire, we just, we had our producer like verbatim write it down. Their sentences. Can you play it, by the way?
Look that up. Whoa Vicky.
Whoa Vicky apologizes Snoop Dogg. It is. There's sentences that go nowhere. It goes, nah, saying, because we don't even know, be like when it come then. Just, no exaggeration.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Marissa's going to try and search that and bring that audio.
I believe in Marissa. She can do this.
Oh, my God.
Whoa, Vicky, Snoop Dogg apology.
You got to be
it's
a world.
It's one of the funniest things. And then the guy chimes in. He goes, because, whack, we ain't, like, no, even know. And people be saying, say stuff like, so, you know, sorry for that.
What?
Sorry for that.
It's so funny.
It's the material that's generated from, like, Cardi B, you know, going back and forth, and all of a sudden these feuds become fodder for material, and somehow they all make money. They stay relevant,
as you know, the fight. So many of these feuds are completely orchestrated by the parties in question. So in this level of music, that's you got to be in a feud. So she's in a feud with Nicki Minaj, and you have all these things going back and forth multiple different ways, and that's how you have the first 7 stories on TMZ.
Well, Bad Baby's actually like produced like legit whether it's good or bad, it's like legit music. Theo Vaughn, the comedian Theo Vaughn, is in her newest video as a pedophile.
No, oh, Jesus,
my God!
At the end, she brands his head with the word "pedo."
Okay,
very bizarre.
I have to see that.
I asked him about it, and we were in Arizona together, and he just shrugged his shoulders. It was weird. He was like, I was like, I got a million and one questions.
Wow. That, no, a shrug won't do it.
Yeah. What was it like, man, being on the set with a girl who's famous from Dr. Phil?
Yeah.
It's crazy. And then Dr. Phil had on this week, the girl, you saw the video, she scratched the girl.
No, I did not.
The girl scratched the guy's car a couple weeks back and was like, I'm losing my mind. No. You see, that was a good viral video.
She, oh my God.
Dr. Phil, I said, you got a couple bars. You could rap? Dr. Phil's place to go.
Yeah, really?
The guy's a tastemaker.
He is. He's making career. Oh, here's the video. We're looking at the...
Oh, that's one of the pedophiles. Where the pedophile give the pedo at the
and
end.
And this
yeah.
is... This is who? Is it Bad Baby?
Yep.
Bahad Bahady?
Not to be confused with my new explorer, Bad Baby. His actual Bad Baby.
And she was the chick from Dr. Phil. I'm so...
Cash me outside.
Yeah, I'm so gone on all this. I'm so missing on all this that I'm not, you know... Ashamed of that.
Now you're better at radio than I am, Preston. I am scrapping at straws every day. I got a partner who's constantly filming a TV show. I'm scurrying in there.
I'm dying. Marissa, did you find it yet? It sent it over.
All right, the apology?
For a second. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
so great.
You know who takes this type of art form and actually I appreciate is Lil Dicky. You friends or know him at all, Jay?
No, but I'm a fan.
Yeah, he's great. He's a big Sixers fan. He's from, I think, Jenkintown, and he's from the area, and he has found a way to take all of it make good music out of it and be entertaining and sort of make fun of himself in the process.
He's also like a wild talent, though.
Too. Yes. So talent helps.
I met him at Sirius one time, and he did not know who I was. I knew who he was, and our conversation reflected that.
Okay.
Were you dismissed quickly?
I'm from Philly, too, originally, man. So I'm a huge fan. He was like, oh, cool, man. Like, I go, I'm a comedian. I do a radio show up here. He's like, neat.
He took credit this week for getting Jimmy Butler to come to the Sixers, so I thought that was a bold
move. Did he really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's hilarious. I've seen him at games and stuff, but we did a comedy festival together in San Francisco. Clusterfest is Comedy Central's, it's their comedy festival, and he was there doing that. He was awesome.
Nice.
I am still waiting. Although I don't know how much of like an hour long or, you know, hour and a half concert I could watch of funny raps.
Right. Yes. Yeah, no, I hear
you.
You're
right. For me, the joke wears thin after 5 minutes on YouTube. I mean, I just get tired of it, and that's just personal taste.
But a novelty song, yeah, and then, listen, I love Weird Al, but I'm you know, full concerts would probably be formidable.
Oh, my God, a Weird Al concert? Could you imagine?
Yeah, well, he's coming to town. Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah, you want a ticket?
Do eat it again.
He's
the
great.
Problem was with Weird Al, I usually didn't like the original song of what he was doing.
All right, we got it. We got your audio.
We got the Will Vicky apology.
Worth it.
And who are they apologizing to?
Snoop Dogg.
The Snoop Dogg.
They just simply said in some other video that something like, you know, that Snoop Dogg was old or whatever. Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Hey, just so everybody know, like, I just want to, like, apologize if I have offended anybody. You know what I'm saying? All this fame new to me. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand. I didn't understand until now how much my voice really can affect people and offend people and impact their life. And I just want to say, like, I really do apologize. I didn't mean to start nothing. I didn't mean to, like, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
this what?
This is not the right audio.
This is, audio. No. This is actually fairly lucid.
Yeah, Mercy's sending
these things go.
Oh, wait, hold on. We have a new one. We have a different one. Hang on.
Hey, we do want to say that we apologize to Snoop Dogg, you know what I'm saying, on behalf of what he said and what I said, you know what I'm saying. He really ain't know what he said because somebody told him what. Because I was out there doing my own thing, so I didn't hear him say that. But you know what I'm saying? Somebody told him what to say. He really ain't know what that meant. You know what I'm saying?
What?
Like, we shouldn't have listened because at the end of the day, we are our own person. We can make our own decision, but sometimes it just be like that when it be in the moment. You feel me? Like, people be telling us what to do and we just be listening. But at the end of the day, we learned our lesson. We're going to stop all that listening to folks instead. Because at the end of the day, we respect Snoop Dogg because he a real OG, you know?
Yeah, shout out to Snoop. Like, I'm part of, like, I'm sorry for everything I said. I didn't like, mean it like that. I make people happy. Like, do a funny video. It's just what I do. And I'm sorry for everything I did. Like, towards you and towards everybody that's with your shit, whatever. I'm sorry for it.
Yeah, for real. Like, we were like, ain't know, like, what we were saying. Like, it was really off of the camera, no cap. Like, you know.
All right, it ends there. And by the way, that's like twin speak, by the way. That's
When the twins share a language.
Yeah, nobody else knows what the hell they're saying except for those two.
I have no idea what they said at all, but we have it. written out. So whenever someone gets mad, they get mad at us at Sirius a lot. We always go, I like to say to John Fugelsang, you'll re-elogy, I'll sigh for everything I said and what I said be like, because it sometimes be like that. And then, you know, I ain't know what I says and that stuff when you says. But we just like to say the name, everybody goes, he goes, I'd like to apologize to John Fugelsang. our sincerest apologies to Radio Andy.
I love the concept of John Fugelsang being known in the hip hop community.
John Fugelsang. All right. Unfortunately, we got to wrap it up, Jay. We're going to talk to our buddy Kevin Smith a moment. You know Kevin Smith?
Yeah. I mean, I know we've never met before, but of course I know who
he's
he
a great
is.
Guy. We're going to talk a little bit about Stan Lee dying, which really sucks. But, yeah. We are so happy you came by this morning, man. It's always great to see you.
Thank you for having me.
Helium Comedy Club, tomorrow's sold out, you said, Case?
Tomorrow's sold out. Tonight is not.
Okay. 7:30 and 10 o'clock shows, and you can go to heliumcomedy.com to get your tickets. They are going to sell out. I'll guarantee you. Big J is awesome. One of the absolute best you will ever see. So please
come to the early show or the late show.
Check them out.
Work around this. Calendar Girl Party.
Yeah.
That is going to be better.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Thank you. Big J Okerson. Let's hear it for you. Thanks, bud.
Love you guys. Thank you so much, man.
You bet. Anytime. Be right back with Kevin Smith. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Cool gifts are what Worldwide Stereo is all about. Wrap a genuine surprise and wow someone all year long. Montgomeryville, Ardmore, and online at worldwidestereo.com.
Hey, it's Preston from the Preston and Steve Show. This holiday season, I'm going to be buying Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa gift cards for my family and friends. And listen, during the Black Friday weekend, it is their buy one, get one free sale on gift cards. Visit one of their over 50 locations in your neighborhood or visit hannahandstone.com. Restrictions apply. See spot for details.
Do you ever wonder why everyone hates Steven Singer? Well, he makes buying a diamond easy with his 100-day no-hassle money-back guarantee and free shipping both ways, making returns and exchanges hassle-free. Visit Steven at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I get Arthur Rabbit. I guess I'll have a couple texts are coming in saying, hi, call me Artie.
You're right.
You can call me Artie.
He sold it 75% of the way.
Yep, and then he stopped at the main.
I am the god of hellfire. From the flames of hell I've crawled, and my name is
Arthur Brown. Artie.
Artie.
AB, some people call me. Nice to meet you.
Arte.
All right. So we were, and this isn't such a bad thing. Kevin Smith's a very busy man. We can't get a hold of him right now. We were going to talk about Kevin's, close connection to Stan Lee, who we lost this week, and an absolute legend.
At the center of, pop culture, yeah. And one of the great appreciators of pop culture, Kevin Smith.
I'm gonna switch gears, though, and I was going to save this for music news, and another person that passed... actually, yesterday, Steve and I are huge fans of. Now, let me preface this by saying I hate country music. Country music can suck my ass.
But there's a type of country music that's a legit. I appreciate
Johnny
Cash.
I appreciate the musicianship. There are some people that are incredibly talented vocalists and instrumentalists in the world of country. The subject matter of most songs make me just roll my eyes and go, shut up. Yeah. But Glenn Campbell and you mentioned Johnny Cash and a lot of great
Chet
musicians.
Chet Atkins.
A lot of great musicians throughout the years. And one of them passed away yesterday, a guy that you may know his name, you may not, Roy Clark. Okay, so Roy Clark, and not that long ago, I was just randomly sending videos to, I knew you already knew well who he was, Steve, but I sent them to Casey as well. To show what an unbelievable musician Roy Clark was. Now, Roy Clark was a co-host of Hee Haw.
With Buck Owens, yeah.
And it was a jokey, goofy show with legitimate musicians and guest stars on the show. But I got reintroduced to Roy Clark earlier this year. There's a YouTube channel I follow called Wings of Pegasus, and this is a guy. He's a metal player. He's a guitarist. He's a British guy, and he takes legendary guitarists and he'll watch a performance and he'll comment on that performance while it's going on. It's the most positive look at each one of these musicians as they're playing. It's such a great commentary that he does, and he appreciates all types of music. And he had one of Roy Clark, and I started watching. I'm like, man, I forgot how good that guy was. He was a shredder. He could have been a metal, speed metal guitarist. He was so fast and so precise, and doing it without all the effects that are available now on the guitar. It was very raw. It was a very, very clean tone. Mm-hmm. So you had to be very, very precise in your playing. And he was incredibly talented. He passed away at the age of 85 yesterday. And I was sad to hear that, obviously.
Full life. Now, I grew up, Preston, as you mentioned before, my mother loved Roy. It's weird because we're not from, you know, country or whatever. But my mother loved Roy Clark. And so I would watch, and I know you would too, Preston, Hee-Haw.
Yeah.
Not for the I'd love to see him play. But the Hee-Haw Honeys, that's what you watched Hee-Haw for.
Yeah.
So they had some super, Daisy Duke type. A whole battalion of them. So that was the incentive to watch Hee-Haw. But I came to appreciate just how good he was.
But at the beginning of the show, they would open it with a number, and it was him and Buck Owens with "I'm a Pickin'"
and "I'm a Grinnin'."
And they would play this big instrumental piece of music. And at the end of it, usually Roy would end. He's playing banjo and just playing these incredibly hard licks, difficult licks, and he could play anything that had strings on it. He was that good. So I'm going to play a little clip.
All right.
I pulled this was, and back in the 1970s, TV shows, people bopped around from show to show.
Sure.
And did guest appearances and things like that. So he was on an episode of The Odd Couple, and he sits down and he's talking to, you know, Tony and Oscar, and they ask him, he has his guitar, and they ask him to play a little bit. Well, he does like a Spanish-flavored instrumental piece. I had Marissa just grab a little bit of this just to let you hear what a great musician he was. So here it is. That's just a little part of it.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
It goes on for a while. The dude was fantastic. And it's, you know, like Charlie Daniels made a comment. He said, "I've known him for 60 years. He was a fine musician and entertainer. Rest in peace, buddy. You will be remembered." Keith Urban, who won Entertainer of the Year Wednesday night at the CMAs.
Yeah.
Said, my first CMA memory is sitting on my living room floor watching Roy Clark tear it up.
Keith Urban is a tremendously talented guy. Tremendously talented guitarist as well.
I said, sending all my love and respect to him and his family for all he did. So, and then you want me to play? You had here's the Hee-Haw theme. Let's hear a little bit of that.
Yeah.
It was a goofy show.
Yeah.
Steven, it was standard.
Hee-Haw, starring Buck Owens and Roy Clark.
Oh, did they do the Pickin' and Grinnin' thing here?
No, just the
I forgot about this. when the Hee-Haw Honeys would stand in front of the fence that had the one plank that would come up and hit them in the ass.
Yep.
That was always
special. That was good.
Moment.
And when they would be sort of draped around on the hot summer afternoon, and they'd have observations. It was really corny stuff. But it actually, and it's being credited. We have our sister station, it's a country station. It's been credited for bringing what was really hardcore down in the South into pop culture.
Yeah.
And it was on for something like 26 years.
Yeah, it ran for a long time. Yeah. Here's a little bit of him playing a huge hit for him, which was Yesterday When I Was Young.
This
is
Roy Clark. Love this song.
Yesterday.
Oh, yeah, he sang too.
When I was young. The taste of life was sweet as rain upon my tongue.
A great voice too, man.
I teased at life as if it were a foolish game. The way the evening breeze may tease a candle flame.
Did you see the video? And I sent it over of him. He's performing, and he goes from guitar to be, and he's doing a slide with just a glass.
Yeah, yeah, he picked up a glass.
And he's doing the sort of, you know, picking it on it from the top, and then he goes to the fiddle, and it's just one right after another. Yeah. That just an astonishing ability.
Yeah, he played violin, guitar, banjo, mandolin, harmonica.
Did you see what Little Za wrote about him?
No,
yeah. It's just really very touching.
It be like he was. Yeah.
Awesome.
So anyhow, that's sad news for Roy Clark's passing. But listen, if you play guitar, just go do a search on YouTube and you'll be blown away. There have been a lot of great musicians over the years who you may not know their names. You want me to talk to this guy?
I think he can give us some insight into Stan Lee and his legacy.
Oh, that's why we're going
to him? I think that's why we're going to him.
Okay. Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning, my family.
Hey. How are you? Hi, Kevin Gary. Smith.
Kevin Smith.
Good morning, Preston Elliott. How you doing?
I'm great.
He doesn't get it.
How are you, Gary?
I'm wonderful. The mayor, Juniata, is just wonderful. I'm peachy, man.
You're peachy? Wow. So what's going on in the life of Gary Lauer?
I have good news. I just want to let everybody know that there's a big event this Saturday. And
oh, I know what it is. You're kicking off your GoFundMe campaign.
What is it, Gary?
It's a Juniata Park reunion at Dagwood's Pub.
Okay.
And the mayor's going to be there. A band called Stellar Belly, one of Jackson's local shop bands. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say hi to my family. So, hi,
are you going to be there? So you're going to be there? You say, okay, the mayor.
The mayor's got to be there. Yes. You got Secret Service?
I would like to say, if he'd like to come out and visit the mayor and my Juniata Park brothers and sisters, we would love to have you.
All right, so it's a Juniata Park reunion?
Correct. At Dagwood's Pub this Saturday at 4625 Linden Avenue.
Meaning
anyone that, who's out on parole.
No. meaning anyone who's ever lived in Juniata?
It's like basically it's all the Juniata. It's all like Frankfurt, Little Flower, North Catholic Orphans, St. Hubert Girls.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a great day.
Where's Dagwood's? Is that close to your house?
It's down the street from Maggie's Waterfront Cafe.
Oh, we love that place.
Well, how are you going to get there?
Hop on the Soul Train.
All right.
You have that at the ready.
Tell him the camel toe.
Yeah.
how you doing, Kathy, Sweet Tea Romano?
Hi, how are you? I'm so looking forward to seeing you at the camp out.
Yeah, I'll be there the 26th Thursday.
That's Monday, actually.
Well, actually, you know what's going to happen, Gary, is that she's writing down the date for tomorrow. I think you're going to be there tomorrow, Kathy, as well?
Not. I have a game tonight. I have the new guy that makes his debut tonight.
Okay, yeah. There were like 9 conversations that never intersected at that point.
Hey, Gary, did you know that you broke the news to me about the Jimmy Butler trade? I came to the Flyers game last Saturday, and I didn't know about the trade until you told me.
I'll tell you what, it was a ballsy move, and I'm glad they did something like that. That's really cool.
Do you mean that they bring Gary into those decisions?
Yeah, they do.
I also would like to know, how do you find us so quickly whenever we're down at the Wells Fargo Center?
That's my house. I just constantly keep moving.
That's your house. Yeah, honestly, if you go and see, you'll see Gary Lauer there.
Yep.
He is working his ass off.
Hey, Preston.
Yep.
If I may, young man, can I give a shout to Team Operations, Team Electricians, Diamond Dog Louie, the Plumbers Union, the plumbers down there at the big house?
Yes.
And the most important people are all down there straight up is all the security staff. They do an excellent job.
And Diamond Dog Louie's part of that?
Diamond Dog Louie. Diamond Dog Louie. I gave him the nickname. He's the lead carpenter. He's a great cat.
All right. I'm going to give him a shard for you, okay, Gary?
Oh, that'd be
all
cool, right, man. Here we go. Hey, Preston.
Yeah.
Really nice to hear from you, man. I hope
you called us.
Yeah, I'm glad I got in touch with you.
Preston, he asked you for permission, but like really didn't even ask you. Yeah. Hey, Gary, by the way,
I want to thank you for getting in touch.
I asked you last time you called in to come up with a new nickname for me. Were you able to do that?
I like Will Canfor.
I don't, though.
It's tough.
Well, you got to stick with it, Lou.
Lou? How about Oil Can Lou? You're now Oil Can Lou.
Casey's now Lou.
Just call me Lou.
Hey, just don't be late for dinner.
Yeah, exactly. You can call me late. Don't call me late for dinner.
All right. Say thank you. I truly miss my family. I miss my family.
You miss your family. We'll see you at the camp out, Gary.
I want to play some games that day.
Yes, we will.
All right.
All right, you got it.
Yeah, play the games. We'll do it for Johnny.
Yeah, let's do it for Johnny. Yo, thank you, Preston. And it was a great article, which you were just talking about, with that guy.
Roy Clark.
Yeah, he was a great guitar player, man. Yeah. Underrated guitar player, man.
Yeah, that's great.
And I'm sorry for the losing of Stanley. Awesome
Stanley.
Guy.
Yeah, the losing was terrible.
Yeah, he can't be replaced, that guy. Yeah.
All right, well, hopefully we can have you speak to that and you can come out to the camp out.
Yeah, I'll see you Thursday like I always do, and I'll see you around the hood, and I love my family. I miss you all.
All right, take it easy, Gary.
Bye-bye, Gary. See you later.
You know what, if you're coming out to the camp out and you have anything you would have wanted Stan Lee to sign, Gary will sign it for you.
Is he going to be a part of the wedding?
Well, he says he's coming down on Thursday. We're doing the wedding on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, so. Thursday the 26th.
Yeah, right, exactly. By the way, it's verified. It's not a pretty much a done deal. It's a done deal. We do have our honeymoon trip that we're going to give away, and it is in Florida, so we're going to stay there. 4-day, 3-night trip for four. Oh, I guess you get to bring your wedding party with you, too, for four at a resort in Florida on the Gulf of Mexico, and that includes round-trip airfare, 4-day rental car as well.
Whoa!
For the kids you already have.
Yeah, that, too, could be. And it's going to be, it's like a $3,800 package that you get for free, which is a pretty sweet deal. So those are all the details I'm going to pass along for now on that. Do we have to take a break?
We do.
Oh, okay.
Man, I'm so sorry.
That's all right. We'll take a break. We'll come back in a second. Give me something to give away. Should I do
all
the
right.
movie passes?
Lou is going to give you this.
All right.
Lou.
Ralph Breaks the Internet. We got this screening Monday at the UA King of Prussia. And let me see how many I got left here. Yeah, you know what? Let's do six pairs of tickets, 215-263-WMMR. The movie's at 7. You need to be there by 6:30. So call right now, and we will add you to our list. We'll come back in a second. I got some bizarre file stories I think you're going to enjoy, and we'll get to those next. Stay with us.
Throughout 2018, MMR celebrates 50 years rockin' Philly and the best bands a radio station could ever have. We've been doing this special weekend thing all year and hope you've enjoyed the trip with us one year at a time. For this final weekend in the series, we'll journey back to the very beginning and focus on 1968 and 69, our first year and a half, including what started it all, the Marconi experiment. We saw man land on the moon, Elvis make a comeback on TV, and the Beatles last public performance on the roof of Apple Records. Oh, and that whole Woodstock thing. At MMR, the DJs had new music from Jimi Hendrix, the Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin, the Beatles, Cream, the Doors, Pink Floyd, The Who, CSNY, The Animals, and so many more from 1968 and 69.
Listen all weekend as we highlight another page from our scrapbook of shared musical memories.
Sponsored by Benari Jewelers in Exton, Newtown Square.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that's rocked Philly for 50 amazing years.
9:48, Friday morning, and sun is shining. That's good.
It's windy.
Yeah, that's all right. As long as we got that solar radiation working on melting some of those spots that were still a little bit finicky with the snow and sleet. It was full on hardcore sleeting when I got into my car.
It hurt.
I slid all over the place in my vehicle.
When you got into the parking lot here, it felt like needles. The wind was blowing so hard.
Yeah.
So. That's over. That's a good thing. Let's take a look at traffic. That's still probably ugly. What's going on, Kathy?
Yeah, it is. So we've got a closure in Maple Shade, New Jersey on Route 73 at Stiles Avenue. Stop traffic from 38 up to where this accident was. The accident is now gone, but they're doing emergency construction, so it is still jammed solid. Southbound on 73 in Pensauken at High Street, the left lane blocked with an accident there. Tacony-Palmyra Bridge back down after a drawbridge opening. 95 southbound slowing from Cottman through to Girard. On the Schuylkill Expressway eastbound, that's backed up the Blue Route to Conshohocken and Montgomery into Girard, westbound from Passyunk to South Street. The Vine westbound slowing 95 to Broad Street, 422 eastbound slows from Trooper to 23. And on the Ben Franklin Bridge westbound, you're heavy the midspan through to 8th and Vine. The airport saying they're reporting delays and cancellations possibly. So call 1-800-PHL-GATE for more information. Service on the Paley-Thorndale Regional Rail Line, also the Trenton Line, up to 45-minute delays. Also, bus routes being detoured because of weather issues. You can expect delays there as well. This traffic report brought to you by Lowe's. Black Friday deals are on at Lowe's. Come in today for up to 40% off appliance special values. Offer valid through November 29th while supplies last. See store for details, U.S. only. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Casey was just showing me while you're doing the traffic a video. You've seen these in, like, circuses. It's a giant circle. It's a metal circle with handles on it.
Yes.
And, you know, you can hold on to it and twirl. You can roll.
It looks cool.
We need to get one of those for the Camp Out for Hunger.
We do.
Always wanted to do that.
Yes.
I don't even know what that's called. I wouldn't even know where you'd start to try to find an apparatus like that.
I'll get you one.
Really? What we need, though, Kathy, is not the one that's just the one circle, the one that's double circled.
Yeah, like that, for beginners.
Hey, there is a circus school in the city, and we have connections to them. So I'll see if maybe we can get one out.
Circus school, can I help you?
What's your name?
My name is Poo Poo.
It is. It's literally a circus.
Want the ring or the double ringer? All right, great.
Is Arthur Brown there?
He is here. He's in the background setting his head on fire.
But that looks similar to when we tried to do that team bonding activity. I'm sure we could all do that.
We could totally do that.
Sure.
Hey, you know what I used to do?
I was saying the same thing, Kath. Yeah. That looks easy.
I could do that.
I can walk on stilts. I can totally do that.
I can jump off the high dive.
I can jump off the high dive.
I can trapeze.
I've always wanted to do stilts.
Stilts, not the kind that, like, you just, like, they're basically, like, giant boots.
We would call them lifts.
But, like, the stilts that have, poles you hold on to them.
Yeah, the poles that you hang on.
Yeah, I can do those for a while.
The ones that I've always thought looked cool, and I it's the same sort of apparatus, Casey, that, you know, that would bind your feet to regular skates or so on and so forth, but the springy suckers.
Yes.
Those ones that have the bent metal.
Yes.
That Blade Runner, that... the murdered his girlfriend.
I can ride a wheelie in a wheelchair, like, for a long time.
Really?
Yeah, prove it at the camp out.
We had this really steep driveway at my grandmother's, and she had a wheelchair, so I'd push her out of that, and I'd... No. But
I need to get to my medication, but my grandson stole my wheelchair.
But I would take the wheelchair and go up and down that driveway.
No kidding.
Look at me, Grandma. I mean my medication.
Riding a wheelie the whole time.
Yeah.
I can do that.
I used to be able to ride a wheelie on, like, a BMX bike, but, you know, you see these kids doing it these days, like, where they're just going blocks and blocks and blocks on a wheelie.
Well, I used to, before it was the thing, I could do that on my Schwinn with just regular, like, hybrid tires, you know, because I always wanted, like, as I said before, the old, I think they called them spider bikes, with the lower sitting bikes that were more motorcyclish, but my mother got me this outlandishly big bike. But by having that, I was able to develop that skill to pop a wheelie and ride on that back wheel for a long time.
But, Press, do you think you could just hop like it's like getting on a bike? You know, do this.
Is riding a bike just like riding a bike?
No, the wheelchair thing.
Oh. Sure. Yep. No problem.
Can your son walk on his hands? Like
very well.
All right. My old RA used to be able to do that, and he was bragging. He's like, "Yeah, I can walk up and down steps." So he tried to show us, he ended up falling down the steps.
Oh no. Yeah, something like that you need to, you got to get yourself back into shape for. So anyway, come to the camp out and see what all we can do. We'll be doing all kinds of things.
Watch us fail.
Yeah. All right, we need to do the
bizarre. Have more scammers on.
Yeah. We need to do the
guess what I get to do.
Let's do the B-File.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, so home surveillance video shows a masked man in Littlestown, Pennsylvania, entering a home and attacking a couple with a meat cleaver and a wooden pole.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, right? Police are asking for the public's help to identify this person. The suspect entered the home that belongs to Eric and Joey Maxis, and he asked for money or something, and this is according to Eric, who said, and then I saw he had the meat cleaver, so I jumped up to defend my family. He started to hit me with the cleaver. A woman entered the home with the masked man, and he said that he threw the pipe at her and told her to kill my wife.
So the guy with the pipe and the cleaver throws it at the woman and asks the woman to kill his wife?
No. Another woman entered.
All right.
A woman entered the home with the masked man.
I got you.
He threw the pipe at her and told her to kill my wife. The couple had a friend at them with the home. The friend ran upstairs to hide from the attackers. Joey said that she ran out of the house screaming for help. She said, "I just immediately jumped over the table and ran for help because I thought we were going to die. I didn't think my husband was going to make it out. A neighbor in the area heard the screams and immediately called 911. And I don't know what ended up happening as far as the attackers leaving or whatever, but everybody lived.
They became the best of friends.
And now they are looking for this person. That's just insane. That's the stuff.
You watch Game of Thrones too?
Yeah, that's the stuff of nightmares.
I mean, with a meat cleaver?
That's right out of a slasher film.
Yeah.
And they have video of it.
And the guy came out okay.
Yeah, pretty wild. Okay. Moving on, a four-year-old girl whose mother was arrested on suspicion of drunken driving was found crying in her family's van hours after it was towed away to the city's tow lot.
So she's still in the car crying?
Yeah, the little girl. The girl had been...
Oh, it's a little girl.
...in the van about 8 hours before a tow lot operator heard her crying.
No one noticed it in 8 hours?
Yeah, the girl's mother was pulled over around midnight by police. It was overnight on suspicion of drunk driving. A 10-month-old baby was taken out of the vehicle, but the mother apparently didn't mention the four-year-old. Vehicles should be thoroughly searched at the scene prior to being towed under the Milwaukee Police Department's standard operating procedure. The van was placed on a flatbed truck by the city's towing contractor and taken to the lot. At the lot, all vehicles are supposed to be inspected, with someone from the lot getting on the flatbed to record vehicle identification and license plate numbers and using a flashlight to inspect the inside of the vehicles.
Oh, man.
Nobody noticed the girl in the van. She wasn't found until about 8:30 a.m., when she was heard very upset and crying. The fire department was called to check the girl out for exposure of 8 hours in cold weather. It appeared she was okay. She was taken to the hospital as a precaution. Temperatures dropped to 18 degrees. This little kid survived all night. That's crazy.
And mom's driving around drunk.
Yeah.
Right?
Protocols are being reviewed to examine vehicles more thoroughly. You think mom might have said something about, hey, we left my four-year-old in the car.
She didn't notice.
Wow. All right. Something lighter. Let's go with this. A man from Canada will finally find out what an ex-girl gave him for Christmas nearly 50 years after the fact. Adrian Pierce caught the world's attention after revealing back in 1970, when he was 17, his girlfriend gave him a Christmas present just before dumping him, and that he's kept it unopened ever since.
It was a puppy.
And and now he's told the news that it's time to open the gift. Pierce says that the story went so viral that his ex actually got in touch with him, telling him that she doesn't remember what was inside the package.
Is that meaningful?
He's invited her to an event on December 6th to unwrap the gift herself. If she doesn't show, then his wife will unwrap it. So that should be interesting. Then we'll do one more story and wrap this up. An Australian woman is outraged after discovering that her neighbor was planning to have a natural home birth on their shared apartment rooftop. The woman found a note from the neighbor in the elevator saying, "Just wanted to inform you that my partner have booked the top have booked the rooftop for our natural home birth on approximately 1 p.m. till late on the 10th of this month."
So she put in the reserve, right?
Yeah, she said we
filed the paperwork.
"We will do our best to keep the noise levels down and will, of course, clean up after ourselves. Any issues, please feel free to contact me. Thanks in advance." Well, the outraged woman wrote via social media, "I'm about 5 seconds from flipping a desk and writing an angry email to our building manager. Like most city apartments, we have a communal rooftop barbecue area. You can't book it as such, but most people will leave notes in the lift and let the building manager know if they're using the space for a party.
Hey, by the way, I'm going to give birth on the roof."
She said, "But I think this is ridiculous." The woman actually wrote to the building manager and found out that the bylaws stated the communal areas can be used so long as they do not impede on the peace and recreational use of other residents. The note has since been taken down from the elevator, and residents are unsure whether they had been pranked or if there really was a birth taking place on the rooftop this weekend or not. But one woman was not happy about that whole thing, so. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. We have another break to take. Let's do that very thing. And we have a stack of stuff to give away. Case, can I give something else away?
Do some brewskis.
One of these? All right. A beer. Case of beer. I have Yards Brawler 16-ounce pounders. And it's that time of year when everybody's getting together. And if you're bringing beer, bring the good stuff. Bring the brawler from Yards. Take caller number 18-215-263-WMMR. Pick up any case of 16-ounce pounders at Kennett's Beverage, Kennett Beverage Company in Kennett Square. Nick.
Yeah, ma'am.
You wanted to mention this event this weekend.
It's a screening of Napoleon Dynamite. The movie came out about 14 years ago. And the three stars of the movie, John Heder, Efren Ramirez, and Tina Margarino, were going to be there on Sunday night. It's this Sunday, November 18th, starts at 8 p.m. Those three people, Napoleon Dynamite himself, is going to be there. It's a Q&A. I am hosting it. Casey was originally going to do it, and he can't do it anymore. So I stepped in, and you get to talk with these people who made this movie, which we all loved and then were kind of annoyed by and now all love again. Yeah. And I'm psyched to be a part of it. So it's the Kimmel Center. All the ticket information is at kimmelcenter.org, but it's at the Merriam Theater Sunday night. November 18th, and tickets are available. So if you want to come and check it out, we'd love to have you.
Cool. Excellent. We're going to take a break. Be back in a second. Lesson question, trash music news, that stuff's up next. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Totally Office Calendar 2019.
12 magnificent months featuring the most gorgeous girls and our loveliest listeners. Official release party is this Friday from 7 to 10 p.m. at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Be first with a free copy of the calendar, hang with the morning show, and meet the girls of Preston and Steve's Totally Office Calendar 2019. Details at WMMR.com. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Tonight, we will expect to see you at Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. You don't need any cash if you're swinging in there to pick up a calendar because it is free of charge. And we'll be there from 7 to 10. We met the ladies this morning. We have a great group of ladies.
Oh, my God. Lots of personality.
Personalities and everything.
Exactly.
I love it. So they look amazing. They're really, really sweet. They will be in attendance tonight. Come out. Say hi to us. Say hi to them. Get your calendar. And that will send you on your way. Done with traffic for the day. That means we can get right over to today's lesson question. And today we are going to give away as a prize. What do we have today? We have a 4-pack of tickets to the Philadelphia Wings lacrosse welcome home opener. And I don't know what I did with the questions.
They're right over there next to your computer.
Oh, thank you. Wait.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. I got it. Let's see. We will go with... this one. For Arthur Brown, the god of hellfire, what's the weather like down in hell? 215-263-WMMR. For Arthur Brown, the god of hellfire, what's the weather like down in hell? 215-263-WMMR. If you know the answer, call now. We'll do the trash while you're calling.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And this morning is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. No matter what time of day, two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you can get two for $5 at Dunkin' Donuts with Dunkin's Go-To's. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. What's going on, Steve?
Well, the late Vern Troyer's estate getting slapped with a $400,000 bill for weeks of inpatient treatment from the L.A. hospital. Apparently, Troyer had attempted to pay the bill, but came up short.
Oh, my God.
Thank you so much. Kris Jenner, trying to help son Rob Kardashian with his failing designer sock line, said Kris, quote, I have all these hot, successful daughters, and Rob is like that one burnt cookie at the back of the tray. And finally, Asia Argento, you know her. Her new boyfriend, Fabrizio Corona, says he and the actress made love on top of a table for an hour on their second date. Fabrizio says that even now, he still occasionally finds a spoon in his ass.
Boom. That's your Hollywood track. All right, thank you, Steve. We are searching for someone with an answer to this question for Arthur Brown, the god of hellfire. We played his song earlier because we are going to 1968 this weekend. What is the weather like down in hell? And I'm going to go to Ashley, see if she knows the answer. Hi there, Ashley.
Hi, good morning.
Ashley, what's the weather like down in hell?
It's toasty.
A little toasty. You got it. Hang on a second, Ashley. And we are going to give you a 4-pack of tickets, Philadelphia Wings across. Welcome home opener. The Wings face off against the Buffalo Bandits on Saturday, December 15th at 1 p.m. at the Wells Fargo Center. You can join the party and expect the unexpected. I'm going to mention this quickly. There's a charity event with Bernard Hopkins was here in our studio not
yes.
that long ago.
Nice guy.
For Big Brothers Big Sisters. And he does a lot of cool charity events. He has the Bernard Hopkins 6th Annual Turkey Giveaway, which is coming up at the Wash and Lube Car Wash at 1111 Spring Garden, and it'll be this Sunday from 10:30 till 2, and they're helping out families in need, and that's all there is to it. So if you need a turkey, this is where you can go. If you need a helping hand, they are there to help you out. So what a nice guy, man.
That's very cool.
He was really thankful when we were talking to him. You know, he has a checkered past. He went to jail.
Yes, he did.
He went to prison. He was in Greaterford.
Yes, he was.
Got his life together, turned it around, saw the error of his ways, and now is trying to give back when he can. So it's a really admirable thing.
And it's good to see him enjoying being able to do that so much.
Yep, exactly. So once again, it's at 1111 Spring Garden at the Wash and Lube Car Wash on Sunday. And that'll be 10:30 to 2 p.m. It's the 6th Annual Turkey Giveaway. So just wanted to give that little plug. We're going to do the music news segment now.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Yeah!
Brought to you by Robbins Diamonds and Tax-Free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. So there's another follow-up story to this. Connecticut State Police are treating the death of All That Remains guitarist Oliver Ollie Herbert as suspicious. The 44-year-old Herbert drowned in a pond on his property in Stafford Springs, Connecticut last month, but the state medical examiner's office called the manner of death, usually listed as homicide, suicide, or accident. He called it undetermined. State police sources said that they are treating Herbert's death as suspicious at this point and investigating it. They are compiling a timeline of his last 24 hours, reviewing his medical history, and searching for people who may have been in contact with him on or before October 16th, when his body was found. He had been reported missing by his wife, Elizabeth. Elizabeth wrote online that she had received a toxicology report from the medical examiner saying that Ollie was apparently self-treating for manic depression, that it was running in his family for several generations. Antidepressants were found in his system, as well as a sleep aid. But All That Remains, singer Phil Labonte said in an interview that Herbert wasn't really a big partier. He said he didn't do drugs, he didn't really drink a lot. A number of his friends and fans have questioned the circumstances of the guitarist's death, with some of them starting a Facebook page called Justice for Ollie Herbert. So we'll follow the story. Coldplay will reportedly begin work next year on its eighth studio album. According to the band's longtime friend and video collaborator, Matt Whitecross, Matt, who has known the band member since college and recently directed the comprehensive Coldplay documentary called The Head Full of Dreams, said that they're on a sabbatical at the moment, so they've been ruthlessly on holiday for a year. They've never done that before, but they do have plans for next year, however. I've not been party to them. He added that even during the current break, Chris Martin is usually in and out of the studio writing three or four songs a day. Asked if he knew anything about the direction of the group's next LP, Whitecross replied, "I've heard a few things and filmed a few bits of them talking about it, but I don't think I'm allowed to share anything."
Three to four songs a day.
I think he might be, like, working on three or four songs. I don't see somebody writing three or four songs a day.
It's 2 weeks over and I have about 500 songs.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah. They're all very good.
Yeah. X-Blink 182 singer and guitarist Tom DeLonge is releasing a new children's book titled Who Here Knows Who Took My Clothes. The book will arrive on November 30th through DeLonge's own To the Stars imprint. And according to the website, the book is a hilarious and irreverent story that will have all ages giggling. A hilarious adventure to find out who is quite rude and left our dude in the nude. The first 200 copies of the book will come with a free pair of instant underpants.
I like that. Will you just add water?
I don't know. The first edition will also be signed by DeLonge. The book is a follow-up to his first children's book in 2015 called The Lonely Astronaut on Christmas Eve. Rolling Stones, out today, have the latest multimedia concert film, Voodoo Lounge Uncut. The collection was filmed and recorded on November 25th, 1994, at Miami's Joe Robbie Stadium, and originally broadcast on pay-per-view at the time. The concert was first released in truncated form the following year as the VHS concert Voodoo Lounge Live. The set has been newly remixed and remastered and now includes 10 previously unreleased performances. Voodoo Lounge Uncut is available as a DVD, 2CD, Blu-ray, 2CD, triple vinyl, digital video, digital audio, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah.
And Voodoo Lounge Uncut features special guest appearances from Sheryl Crow, Robert Cray, and Bo Diddley as well.
Did you see their post yesterday, Preston?
Uh-uh.
So all it is the logo raising up over the ocean with the Statue of Liberty in the foreground. So a lot of people are speculating that means a tour in the U.S.
I'm sure that it does. So we'll see if they come through Philadelphia. And then one last thing released today is Fleetwood Mac's career-spanning 50-song triple CD and 5-LP collection called 50 Years Don't Stop. From the band's earliest days featuring Peter Green, Jeremy Spencer, and Danny Kirwan, through the Bob Welch period into the classic 70s lineup with Christine McVie, Stevie Nicks, and Lindsey Buckingham, all the eras of Fleetwood Mac are covered. It also features rare photos from the band's career, along with new liner notes by veteran music writer David Wilde. And this fall sees the Mac out on the road with Crowded House's Neil Finn and the Heartbreakers' Mike Campbell filling in for ousted leader Lindsey Buckingham, who also is currently on tour with his own band.
So the earliest versions of Fleetwood Mac is a little bit more bluesy, right?
Yeah, from what I recall.
Just up to, like, Bob Welch.
Yeah.
Because that then they started to write a some like about like that gentle Wendell.
Oh yeah,
gentle Wendell.
Blow into my life again.
Sentimental. Yeah, yeah. So that was a good song, but they did have a different sound. And when Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks came in, everything changed.
Yes, it did. All right, and that is it in music news for you this morning. Let me give something away. Amy Schumer, we're talking about her. She's in the hospital.
Yeah.
But she's scheduled to be at the Tower Theater on December 1st. Hopefully she will make it for that show. I think she's going to be all right. I got a pair of tickets to see Amy Schumer. Tickets are on sale now via Ticketmaster.com. Let's take caller number 20, and I will give you those tickets. 215-263-WMMR. Go ahead and give us a call. We're not done with the giveaways either. We still got to give away our Word of the Week prize. So we'll take a break, come back in a second, and get to that. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Alexa.
Amazon's voice-activated personal assistant, Alexa, will take you right to MMR's brand new skill. It's the easiest way to open the station live stream and our audio on demand. Simply say, Alexa, open MMR.
93.3 WMMR, Rival Sons. Is that who that was?
Yeah.
All right.
Wasn't Glorious Sons or...
Do your worst. Yeah, we have the Revivalist, Rival Sons, Glorious Sons. There's like... six bands that have all these names that could interchange with each other.
You're not going to like the new one.
What?
The Glorious Revival Sons?
Oh, my God. throw it on the pile.
God damn it.
Why not? It is close to 10:30. In fact, it is 10:30 on this.
That's how close it is.
Friday morning. So close it is. The Preston and Steve Show. Thank you to a lot of people. We had a busy studio today. Thank you to... from NBC 10 reporter Sydney Long, who was on this morning. She was the one who broke the information about the GoFundMe trio and how they were in on it together. You know, the homeless guy, Johnny Bobbitt, and supposedly gave his last $20 for gas. And turns out that there are charges against him. More than likely, it was a scam that all three of them were in on. It's just a trippy-ass story. But... it did get the Preston and Steve Show on the BBC.
Yes. So if you're looking to scam lots of people out of money, contact us because we want that exposure.
The BBC posted has a story about it, and in it they have pictures of the three of them, and one of the pictures is them at the Camp Out for Hunger last year, smiling and happy all together. It's got our social media posted right there on the BBC.
Yeah.
So they might pick up a couple of stragglers from England for to listen.
And we can sort of chuckle because GoFundMe is going to make good on all the donations.
Yeah.
In a roundabout way, it sort of promotes Camp Out for Hunger.
Yeah, you're right. So thank you to Sydney for coming on, and we'll follow that story. And she's got all the inside dirt on that. Big J. Okerson.
Yeah.
Big J is at Helium Comedy Club tonight. It's the only time you can go see him. The shows on Saturday are sold out. So 7:30 and 10 o'clock tonight, heliumcomedy.com. And how about our calendar girls?
Amazing.
Yeah, they were
so
great.
So cool.
Wonderful to have them by here. And congratulations to all of them, including Shay, who is the cover girl. She's just an absolute stunner. And it was tough to choose a clear-cut cover. But she got it. We'll be at the... release party tonight. Don't forget the picture of the show on the back, and you can see Manthe in all her glory.
Oh my God, I look like my father. What's wrong?
Wait, does she not like the way she looks?
You shouldn't have pointed hates the picture. Out.
She's the only one who looks good in that picture.
I agree.
No, I'm just kidding.
I told her that she looked great, and then she goes, I look like a man.
You know, I see pictures of myself, and the ones that look like my dad, like there are pictures that I see where I look exactly like my father, and that's one of them.
Okay, well, you know.
So
it's my dad's... little girl.
So, you know,
Daddy's little girl. Yeah,
five guys and Marissa.
Anyhow.
Marissa looks great.
Marissa does look great. Casey looks like he's talking out the side of his mouth.
Take your goddamn picture.
Or you're doing a...
Pulling smoke out the side of my mouth and going, hey, you see? Take the picture, see? Yeah.
Why are we taking the picture in the parking lot, see?
So you can see what we're talking about tonight when you come by Chickens and Pizza.
Nick looks good.
Calendars are free. And while they last, so we'll be there starting at 7 o'clock. So we'll see you tonight. One per person. That is important. One per person. Let me see. What else do we need to do? Any other thank yous? I think that is it. Pierre Robert has made his way into the studio. Good to see you, sir.
And to you kids.
All right. You ready to do this letter thing and we'll give this away?
Ho, ho.
Yeah, ha.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by The Letter.
S as in secrets.
All right, let's take caller number 9 at 215-263-WMMR. If you know the word of the week prize, or the word of the week, you get the prize. That's how it works, but you got to be the 9th caller in order to take a stab at that. So give us a call. Did you, Pierre, did you get caught up in the traffic stuff yesterday on the way home?
I hung out here for a while.
Okay.
So by the time I left here, it wasn't so bad.
All right.
You left here this morning.
Dude, what's that?
If you left here this morning, there were still some people stuck who never made it home last night.
Yeah, in the Lehigh Valley, it was really bad. But Nick Murphy was with you, Steve, in Ardmore yesterday. And lives in the city. And it took him
6 hours.
Six hours to get home.
6 hours from Ardmore to the city.
Yeah.
He ran out of gas. He had to pee in a bottle.
Ran out of gas.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
He had all this stuff. So it took me 2 hours from Ardmore to Mount Airy.
I saw your you tweeted about that, I think, last night.
I was a little amazed at the turn in the weather, because that was not, we had no indication that that was going to occur.
Well, then it was just supposed to get rainy and then slushy and get warmer as the evening went on.
And it just kept snowing.
We heard a light dusting that you'd see primarily on the grass, and then that would be that, no accumulation on the street, and then bam, it was a full-blown winter storm. In fact, it would put me in mind of the Poconos and Cardboard Classic and that whole eight-hour nightmare for me.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
I forgot how long it took you.
8 hours from the Poconos to...
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Well, Mother Nature can make things more difficult for us occasionally.
Yes, especially when we have absolutely no idea it's going to happen.
Yep.
How's your... You have the Tesla, right?
Yes.
You're going to go get the all-wheel version, you think?
See, I have an emotional connection to it. To him, because I named him Tommy.
Can't you transport his brain, though? Can't you port his brain into the new car?
I don't know. I feel like I would be abandoning him if I got a new car.
What if you're just improving Tommy?
Well, but then what would happen to old Tommy?
Blown up.
Someone else would enjoy him.
Well, yes.
Now, that's another way of looking at it.
Yeah. Someone would love to have that. But if you get an all-wheel, I think that's...
Because it doesn't have all-wheel drive.
Yeah.
He doesn't have all-wheel drive. And that occasionally is slippery. You only need, in this region, all-wheel drive about 4 or 5 days out of the year. But on those days, you really need it.
You want to die without it.
Yeah. Anyway, All right. It is.
I'm going to get a winner. Look for caller number 9. And that is Brian. Hello there, Brian.
Woo!
Well done, Brian. What's the word, Brian?
It is Paris.
Wee, 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 wee!
That is correct, sir.
Sacre bleu!
It is Paris.
Ho, ho, ho!
And Brian...
Waf, waf, waf!
Since you got it right, plain and simple, I have $500 for you, my man.
That is awesome.
Wonderful. And it is courtesy of Ashley Home Stores. I got to get through the sponsor.
Okay.
It is through Ashley Home Stores, our green room and privilege section sponsor for this year's Camp Out for Hunger. So congratulations to you, buddy.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You bet. Hang on
He's
a second.
He's excited.
Don't forget, check out the Preston or Steve, stand-up display in participating Ashley Home Store locations to register to win this year's Camp Out for Hunger green room furniture. The entry deadline is November 25th. And you can go to WMMR.com for all of the details. So we're good to go there. What's coming up today, Pierre?
We are going to have more Muse tickets. Simulation Theory World Tour goes on sale at 1 o'clock this afternoon. A lot of shows going on sale today. And we'll also have tickets for Nick Mason, Saucer Full of Secrets. And that went on sale as of 10 a.m. That's coming to the Met, Nick Mason, the drummer of Pink Floyd, which will be Saturday, April 20th. And we'll have some fun workforce blocks, including Hailstorm. They are in tomorrow in Camden. And Brent and Sarah, I believe, are hosting. Tommy Conwell will be tomorrow night at the Ardmore Music Hall. And Jackie Bam Bam hosting, and I will be stopping by. And the last of our thematic weekends will be this weekend, celebrating MMR's first 2 years on the air, 1968 and 1969. And if you've been following these weekends, and at the top of every hour, they've been really great blocks of songs from various years that MMR has been on the air and stuff that we were playing. Oh, right. They were playing that then.
Mm-hmm.
So we go back to the very beginning to conclude the celebration of the weekends this weekend.
We always play a song from that year on the Friday of the weekend. Today we played
The Crazy World of Arthur Brown.
Fire.
Fire. We actually played that song this morning. It was wild.
But didn't you have a bit running with that for a while?
Yeah, we did.
It's a Daily Rush video.
Yeah.
So, but we played the entire song today. It was great. Cool. It's going to be a great weekend. Let's take a little thank you moment for our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Next week on this program, Dom Irera will be in our studio. Bruce Valanche is going to be in our studio.
Bruce Valanche has a load of stories.
Kathy Mama Cheeps is coming by.
Mama Cheeps!
Mm-hmm. We'll have Rick Williams and Cecily Tynan on the program and a Not Your Average listener. And that's all leading up to the Camp Out for Hunger, which will be a week from Monday. Okay, a week from Monday. First things first, though, the calendar release party tonight. Chickies and Pete's. Hopefully we'll see you there. That's it. We are done. Rage on and have a great day. And then we'll see you tomorrow. No, we'll see you Monday. Or we'll see you tonight.
Either one of those. Monday.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye. The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Okay, everybody. It snowed yesterday, and you are supposed to clean off your f***ing car before you drive.
Next message.
Guess what? I was about to be really pissed off driving this snow, but now I heard this song come on. So, yeah. I'm down with the snow.
Next message.
You really dropped the ball this time, you I haven't seen a salt truck all day. What the do I pay my taxes for?
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.